Good morning and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there we are. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Board op Bill, pre-op board op Bill is not here. I can only assume he was claimed by Hep C. We have Mike Chaffee, the man. Man who's sort of our utility player around here. Yeah. The guy goes and finds things. All those things, when you hear all those things from The View or Oprah or Entertainment Tonight or Extra or any of that crap, it's me telling Mike Chaffee, hey, man, last night, like halfway into Extra, something was stupid. Go get it. And then he goes and gets it, and he plays it for me, and I go, what, are you stupid? That's not what I was thinking.
It's the other stupid thing.
And he was like, yeah, but you never said. And I just go, dude, don't backtalk me. Just go get the stuff that's in my head. So he's the one who goes and gets all that. Now, Bill is gone. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser. Good big old Brian.
Bill is not a guy who's missed many days since I've been here, as far as I can tell. So I'm not sure what's up with him. Is he okay?
From what I understand, he's just running late. He's on his way.
I heard gay bashing.
Mm.
Wow. No, that he just went and beat up some gay guy.
He went. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, like much.
Gay on gay crime.
Yeah, why not? There's black on black.
Yeah.
Why not gay?
By the way, my
favorite, gay black on gay black.
I also notice an empty seat where Rhino usually sits, our dump guy. So let's keep it clean.
F you.
F you right back.
Where was we?
If I get my way in the 9 o'clock hour, there might be a little cursing.
Why? What's going on?
Well, as I said, I brought you a little gift today, which is why I am a little bit damp from working out. I was about to take a shower, and I'm moving, so it's very hard to find things. And I gave up my after-workout shower to dig out and find you a new glove to be signed by Sugar Ray Leonard.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have a glove with me. Because I meant so much to me, and I almost forgot. And then I went, wait, well, if I have one, I have another, most likely.
The bad part is it's silk, and it goes to Danny's elbow. It's white. It's like the one, what's her name, wore in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Audrey Hepburn.
To ever be wrong, not only is it a decent glove, it's also the glove I knocked out Greg Brady with.
Wow. Ooh. Oh, no.
Yeah, I insist.
Thank you.
Let's see. My own. I got one.
Mm. Wow.
All the guys have a crush on Sugar Ray.
Well, yeah, everyone loves Sugar Ray.
Yeah, everybody does. And so you want to hear my 9 o'clock
Beautiful.
Thing where we might cuss?
Yes.
Well, it came to me on the way here that, and I think it's something most of you would really like, especially that guy that calls from like Portland or whatever. Chuck Liddell holds the world's record right now at getting me off my feet at 14 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Took him 14 seconds, but I don't know how much of that he was playing and didn't know I could hang a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should play a new game. How many seconds to get Danny off his feet with world champion fighters? I say Sugar Ray can beat Chuck Liddell's time and get me down in 8 seconds or less.
Yeah, here's the problem with guys like Sugar Ray and guys like most athletes, and not the fringe athletes. Not that Chuck Liddell's a fringe athlete, but it's a little bit of a fringe sport, the
right.
UFC.
And
in terms of, it's not been around for 50 years. The problem is I've found when you take an athlete, I don't care if it's LeBron James in basketball or Joe Montana in football or Sugar Ray Leonard in boxing, and you go, hey, man, do this. Like where you go, hey, LeBron, here's a ball of foil. I bet you couldn't throw it into that waste paper can that's 20 feet away. He goes, yeah, man. And he hands it back to you and walks away.
Well, you actually throw your kids.
I throw my kids into a trash can from 20 feet away.
It's an apple core of the kids.
And you don't mind banking them.
I don't mind going glass.
Not even a swish, especially from the boy.
Yeah, the problem with the boxers, and I've met a million real boxers in my life, and you go, hey, man, let's see what you got. And you put your hands up, whatever. I was like, they'll never do it. Now, you show me a chick who's been taking a boxing class.
She'll swing away.
Started on Monday. She'll just start swinging. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Because they fight like children. I know, no offense to women, it's a beginner's thing. It's not just a child's thing. They know they're not going to get hurt, so they try and box like they learned yesterday, like Adam told them, jab, jab, right. Jab, jab, right. And then they go, they're unanswered because Adam's not going to hit a girl. So now it's jab, right, jab, right, jab, and they walk like machines hitting you.
Yeah.
They just, because they realize there's no retaliation. They're just going to get to hit you.
In general, lay people have much more enthusiasm for whatever than the actual people who do it. I will guarantee you this right now. Every single guy who watches football at Kimmel's house on Sunday knows more players in the NFL's names than anybody who's currently playing in the NFL.
Well, I agree.
Now, you can't say that about many professions.
Yeah.
It's not like you work at a law firm, but I just know more attorneys than you do. Mm-hmm. No way. It doesn't work that way with cops. Sure. You're a cop, but I know more cops than you. It only works that way in athletics. I you know, the funny thing is, like, even the pros, even the guys that are going to the Hall of Fame, like, once in a while, they'll have the microphone on the sideline. And it'll be like, hey, it's Super Bowl 30. And someone will be going like, hey, man, you better start covering number 80. Number 80. When 80 goes into the slot and then 80 drags over the middle, they're talking about Jerry Rice. Do you know what I mean? They can't even say Jerry Rice.
I was going to say the thing that looks like the infinity symbol and then a zero. Go for that guy. That probably wouldn't work out any better.
A Google. They don't... they don't even know the guy's names. I mean, that's really, it's like when that that guy 16 throws it to that guy 80. That's Montana.
Right.
They don't even say his name. They won't. Once in a blue moon, they'll say you have to cover fill in the blank, like Tom Brady or something, you know. But most of the time, they just use numbers, and they would use the name if they could think of the name. So the people that do the sport are usually much less interested in the sport. And, again, I've said to Sugar Ray Leonard, and I've said to other boxers who have been around for a million years, professional trainers, guys right. like that, you know, I've said to them a few times, like, as I've said on the show more than once, I don't understand why, you know, they used to use that white trainer's tape around the outside of the glove. It would get wet right. in the third or fifth round. It would get loose. It would start coming off. And then it was like a shoelace that was hanging down from the glove. And the ref would go, timeout, timeout. And they have to go to the corner. And the guy would have to retape. And then they started using duct tape. And it worked like a charm. Yeah. Because if anyone wrapped anything with duct tape, it'll never come off. That yeah. Mike Tyson could just focus on punching you in the wrists, and it would never come loose. But then what happened? Well, they went back to the medical tape, and it came loose again. And every single time I say to a trainer, even a legendary guy like Buddy McGirt or Sugar Ray Leonard, why did they go back to the other tape? They go, they just do. Some guys, they do what they do. And I realize they don't know. And as a matter right. of fact, not only don't they know, not interested. Well, never asked. It's their profession, and they've never asked.
Here's my proposal.
Even
then.
The great Apollo Creed.
Here's my proposal.
Not interested.
Because Sugar Ray's seen me fight three times,
mm-hmm.
win them all,
mm-hmm.
and knows he can kill me, no two questions asked. So I thought it'd be a game for our listeners, not really me. There's 10 phone lines. Guess a second. It can't take him more than 10 seconds to knock me down. So you'd get 1 second, you'd win a prize if you picked like 8 seconds, and that's when he drops me.
But he would never, ever, ever do that.
Now,
and that's the problem.
What if I talk him into it?
Listen, Danny, you can try. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Baya?
All right, but I'm not lying. If it's not happening, it's not happening.
No,
I'm not going to say it happened if it didn't happen.
Did that not happen with Liddell? Did I not push him till he hit back? Because he was treating me like a girl, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, but then you're going to have to antagonize Leonard.
No. I'm going to compliment Sugar Ray Leonard and say, you know, you don't have to kill me to knock me down. You just have to get me by 10 seconds. I just thought it'd be a fun thing.
God knows I'd love to watch Sugar Ray smack you in the head. I'm not... by any means,
by the way,
disagreeing with that.
I've listened to the tape. You couldn't have been happier while the devil was kicking my brains in. So I thought I'd just try to make the boss happy again. If you'd rather I didn't get my ass kicked by world champion, I'm all with you.
You know what was weird is producer Angie just handed me this note. We have this guy coming up from this new service called MyExcusedAbsence.com, where they send you actual paperwork, doctor's right. notes, things like that to get you out of a gig. He sells you these things.
Yeah.
His name is John Liddell. Huh. But you just mentioned Chuck Liddell yeah. a second ago.
Is he in a batting cage?
My brain just, yeah, I had one of those moments where my brain had to process. Like, did he just write, did she hear Liddell and write Liddell? Was she trying to say Chuck Liddell? I was just sort of looking and talking and processing at the same time. Turns out the guy who does this, I'm sure is just coincidence and no relation. We'll talk to him in a second. Well, look. We can talk more about this in a couple of few. I appreciate that. I just don't want you to antagonize.
I would say Mr. Leonard. What an absolute honor, sir, to be hit by. I've been hit by some of the biggest names in boxing. Hulk Hogan said that I was the only person he ever gave a black guy who didn't sue him. And I said, sue you? It's a badge of honor, man. I can't believe Hulk Hogan just punched me in the face. Thanks. I told that story until the shiner went away.
The Hulkster.
God, that hurts.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, yes, Bald Brian, as promised, John Liddell, the mixed martial artist of excuses.
Oh, yeah. He does doctor visits, emergency room, jury duty, funerals.
That's right.
For a friend.
Your boss will tap out when he hits you with one of these official summonses. So for $25, you can get a note and you can get a real note. Now, I'm trying to think. I've had two kinds of jobs. In the beginning part of my life, I had the kind of jobs where I would pick up the phone and just call the guy. Actually, the beginning part of my life, I had the kind of job where you didn't even have to pick up the phone. So when you work construction, you don't get paid if you don't show up. They'd like you to show up, but they're not paying you, so it's no big deal. And I could remember many, many, many days of working construction, myself included, but also other guys, where you'd just show up and you'd be like, where's Mike? And if he said Mike, you'd have to explain which Mike, because there's always eight guys named Mike, even if there were just 10 guys working on the site. There's eight guys named Mike and two guys named Steve. It's like the number one construction name is Mike. I guess Seth would be somewhere near the bottom. But the point is 15 years, never worked with a Seth, worked with 35 guys named Mike. But it'd always be like, where's Mike? Who, Mike Lincoln or Mike Stermatt? Stermatt, he's not here. Where is he? I don't know.
Well, Mike.
Well, you think he's in trouble? I don't know. Well, did he call? No.
Some guy named Mike called.
Well, what happens?
No, he
just
fire.
Shows up tomorrow or he doesn't. That's how the first 15 years of my job worked. You didn't have to call in. As a matter of fact, oftentimes there wasn't a place to call in. There wasn't an office. There was just a house people were building. So you wouldn't show up. The second part of my career has been jobs like this where you could call your program director or your producer or your whoever and go, I can't make it in today. I'm really sick. He or she did not need to see a note.
Right.
But I imagine if you work for the post office or if you work for, I don't know, Fortune 500 company to lower level, like what are the jobs where you need to produce? I know for things like school, certain capacity, like I know if you work for the government or something, you need that. Do we have jobs? Do we know people that have those kinds of jobs? If you work for the school system, if you work for LA Unified School District, you can call in sick, right? They don't need a note the next day.
The kid does need a note the next day.
The kid does. And then if you want to take a week off, you're going to have to get a note. Are these things good for a week?
Well, I think if you've had a number of medical absences, your boss is going to want to see a note eventually.
Okay. All right. I just go with the irritable bowel, and they leave me alone almost immediately. Excused Absence Network. We'll talk to the man who founded this next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. From the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Sorry if I seem a little sleepy this morning, peeps. Jack Ben was up late, dressed in a gladiator costume and handing out candy to little kids. Imagine my surprise when I found out it was Halloween. On today's show, comedian Artie Lang, Joe Rogan and his wacky conspiracy theories, boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard, Case Man tackles your home improvement questions. And the return of hobo power, so get your stink stories ready. Hey, Ace Man, here's a good example for you. What's the hobo power of my soiled shorts when I heard Caveman might be canceled?
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, next up, a little human interest story. John Liddell excused Absence Network for $25.
Can't you get
yourself an official note. What if we got a note from him?
In the hospital.
Hey, John?
Yes.
John, tell us about this and how long you've been doing it.
Well, actually, we've been doing it about 16 months now. And it's just now really taken off because, of course, the Associated Press picked our story up and ran with it, and we've been busy ever since.
Now, what are your more popular notes? Notes?
Actually, we don't know because what you do is you purchase these, and they come in a package of five. It's five templates is what they are. And you purchase them for $19.95, and you get all five, and you get a lifetime usage with them.
Did you ever excuse a man for he was busy because he was hog calling that day?
What's that?
Did you ever give an excuse because a man was out hog calling?
No, I haven't.
Where are you from, Mr. Liddell?
I'm from southern Oklahoma.
It's got a little twang, but it's endearing.
I love it.
So what happened? One day you were just watching the news, and you saw that guy who sells clean urine on the internet, and you said, wait a minute, I got me an idea now. How did it work?
Actually, me and my partner, we work at this place where they had a policy to where if you miss two consecutive days...
His partner's Arnold from Green Acres, sorry. Go ahead.
Arnold's over.
If you miss two consecutive days, you had to bring some type of documentation saying where you'd been or a doctor's note or something. So HR was very strict, and we always worked on the side and done extra things for extra money, and we decided to check it out, and we looked it up on the internet, and people were searching for it, but there was nothing there.
Well, now,
put it together.
There's been a little problem with a woman from New Jersey who was arrested for using one of these notes to get out of traffic court.
Right.
What do you know about that?
Well, just basically what New Jersey called, and we talked to some paper reporters, and basically what they told us is all we know about it. She actually got a ticket and didn't show up. I think she missed her court date or something, and when she did show up, it was late, and she said the reason I didn't show up was the first time was because I had to go to the doctor, and she got the doctor's excuse, and of course they checked it out. And
now, how did they bust her if she presented some of your material?
I don't know. Actually, I really don't know how they busted her.
Well, is your material, is it... I don't want to use words like counterfeit or forged or any of that, but is that what it is?
Well, it's what you make it. Basically, we sell a template. It's a form.
So you fill it
yourself.
In.
Yeah.
So you would write in the injury or the affliction.
Right.
You would sign where it says the doctor to sign.
It's right. Get someone else to do it.
For you to forge it.
Yeah. Right. We don't do that. You know, we just sell the template, and you do what you want with it.
Now, are the forms, obviously the forms can be purchased if you're a doctor, right?
Right. Correct.
So it's sort of like selling badges over the internet. You can buy badges over the internet. It's supposed to be only cops need badges.
Sure, you can buy badges at the uniform store.
You can buy badges at the uniform store, right, or over the internet, and you can buy any of that stuff. I mean, you can dress like a cop. There's a bunch of weird laws that don't say you can't do this. It's just if you get caught dressed like a cop flashing a fake badge, then you get into trouble.
Correct.
So, John, what types of, I guess I'm trying to think of how I could use this, what I could use. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, it's a novelty item. You know, you can use it anyway, anything you want. We have five different notes. Three of them are associated with the medical field.
Yeah.
The fourth one is a jury duty notice or a summons that you've been summoned to come to jury duty. And the last one is a funeral notice or a note, basically a funeral program is what it is. Template.
This is good times. Not much fun as that penis that hops up and down after you wind it up.
But I love that thing.
Second to that only is the fake summons.
And the funeral program, what does that look
how's
like?
How does that work?
Well, basically, you just fill ever whose name in you want. You can cut and paste the picture on the front of it. You just put the pallbearer's names in. You do it all.
John Liddell, though, is the fake funeral with the picture bad for my karma?
That's up to you. That maybe if you believe in karma.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna do.
If you take a doctor's report and you fill it out that you were late for work because you had the doctor's appointment, but you also added to be checked for STDs. Do you know what those are?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, good. And so you wrote in, of course, that you don't have any, knowing full well that you do, and you passed them along to your partner. Are you in any way, shape, responsible for that?
I don't know. Actually, on these templates, there's not a place where you can fill in any kind of medical condition, because now it used to be on the older doctor notes.
Oh.
Privacy,
because of HIPAA law. Because,
yeah.
Oh, there's no,
but Danny makes a good point.
Danny has a Hep C stamp, though. He does right over every legal document he has. Hey, we have John Liddell, by the way, on the phone from Excused Absence Network. They sell the excuses in the paperwork form. How much have you made doing this, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, we don't discuss our finances. That's one thing. We can tell you how much traffic we've had. We've had about 750,000 visits.
Mm-hmm. And I guess some people are just looky-loos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because actually we had 250,000 people before we got picked up by the press.
And now
we've had about 500,000 cents.
And but some of those people are buying your product, and it's you said it's about $19 and get the whole package, huh?
Correct. $19.95. You get
right as mine.
I feel like it couldn't. You know, this would be like having an extra flashlight somewhere. I feel like it couldn't hurt.
Just to have around.
Yeah, throw one in the glove box. Yeah. Toss one in the house, a boat or an RV. It just seems like it couldn't hurt to have this around somewhere.
It's only slightly outside my moral comfort zone to hand
this
one of these in.
This is outside your moral comfort zone?
I couldn't do it.
I love sticking it to the man.
The man.
I don't like lying.
But I don't like lying.
Okay. You know what's a little bit outside my comfort zone?
My comfort
zone? Grab a strange kid as the cop pulls you over. And as he starts screaming, you go, oh, my God, this child's lost. You know where his mommy is. That's... You know what, I tell you back, that is not outside my moral realm at all.
You know what I did, actually, because I had a job. I was working on the morning news in New York, and everybody got jury duty, and it's the news. So because it's your civic duty, they give you, you know, your whole week off or whatever paid. And
right.
I called and asked to be on a jury.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I begged to be on a jury. I said, I'm available.
I don't think that works, does it?
Did not work.
You know what else doesn't work? Being a convicted felon.
Oh.
I thought that would work for sure.
Oh, getting,
that's why I did it.
You were trying to get
getting
off.
Out, getting out of jury duty.
Yeah, I was trying to get on.
Doesn't.
They didn't care.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you go because I was reminded of a long-winded story that has nothing to do with you. I do appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Sweet man.
Appreciate it.
Good times there.
Good luck, brother.
John Liddell, Excuse Absence Network. Yeah. Well, it's weird when you... It's weird when you call and you ask for stuff that you don't get. I feel like... Oh my.
Like jury duty?
Well, yeah. It's almost the job. It's almost the job of the man to figure out what you want and not give it to you. Like, the next time a cop pulls me over, I'm going to start screaming, please give me a moving violation. I need a moving violation.
Can you search all my cavities, please?
Yes. I'm sure the guy will step back and go, not so fast. What do you want me to do? I demand you give me a ticket. Oh, yeah? You think you're my boss? Step out of the car. Yes, I think that if you called, it'd be actually, according as I've said, I'm an atheist, but I do sort of believe in what I call the great magnet. I'll give you a quick great magnet story.
Okay.
Part of the great magnet is if you called once a year to whoever you call to get jury duty, and beg for jury duty, you would never get jury duty. That's part of my great magnet thought. Here's a here's a weird little great magnet story. And again, this will be one of those things where people tell you, I'll tell you it's weird, and you'll go, eh. But think about it. I demanded, and I rarely ever do this. I was sitting in the den with my wife last night, playing around with the kids. And I said, you must come to the garage. And you must, I must show you my brilliance. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I, along with my assistant Jay, made plastic headlight covers for a very old car that I have. I decided that this car would look much better with, you know, what you see in front of modern cars now, that sort of plastic shield that goes in front of the headlight. And it's an old car, and they only made a couple hundred of them, and the part doesn't exist. And I decided I was going to make these. And I knew it would be difficult, and it really was involved taking clay, like you'd work with if you were designing a car.
A dreidel.
And I took big lumps of clay, and I pressed them into the slot where the front light was on the car, the headlight was, and I filled the whole slot, and then I sculpted it, and I smoothed it, and I made it into the shape. And then when it dried, I took it to the guy who makes hot shrink-wrapped plexiglass or whatever, and I gave him the mold, and then he bent the plexi around it, and then we cut it out, and we shaped it so it fit, and then we put a sort of liner around the edge of it, and it now looks like a stock part. It was just a pure fabricated part, and I rarely that impressed with myself, but I said, man, this thing looks awesome on the front of this car, and I invented it, and I made it. So I took my wife down to the garage, and I said, baby, bask in my glory. There you go. And she said, that's nice. And then she pointed at some foam that was the kind of wall insulation foam, the kind of expanding foam. And she said, our friend Steve just had that done in his house, and he had to shut his water off. The water, it somehow screwed something up, and he had to shut the main water off to the house and thus didn't have any water for some time. And I said, huh, all right. And we walked right back into the house, and we walked right back into the den where the kids were, and I noticed that water was coming from the light fixture above my head. And I said, well, that doesn't seem like a good thing. And then I said, oh, there's a bathroom above there. And then I thought, I better go shut the main water off to the house. So 33 seconds after she mentioned our friend who had to have the main water shut off, apropos of nothing, I had to shut the water off to our house, and I've never had to shut the water off to our house ever. One of those weird great magnet things. Turns out a pipe burst in the bathroom above the room we were in. Water was cascading down through the ceiling fan. Always nice.
Cascading, though. Sounds
and,
pretty.
And, I had to wick it up with a towel. I like wick it up, by the way, too. But now I have to go figure out what wall I'm going to bust open and how we're going to fix this with Ozzy, who got called last night. But great magnet. Literally, you're standing in your house. Forget about my house. You're standing in your house. Your wife taps you on the shoulder and says, you know our mutual friend? And you say, yes. And she says, he had to shut his water off the other day. And you go, big deal. And then within 45 seconds, you're having to shut the water off to your house. I beat the pulp out of her. I blamed her.
Right.
I screamed heretic and beat her in front of the kids.
This is what you woke me up for.
She must be some kind of witch to know that that was coming.
Now I need to go home and smash a hole in the wall, and I don't know what to do because the bathroom has the old tile, and I don't want to screw up by busting up the old tile, right. So I got to go to the outside of the house.
Is it high up?
Oh, yes, and bust the stucco out. I mean, literally just go to the outside of the house and start swinging the claw into
this
the hammer.
A big deal. Do you guys remember that I had a thing that weighed probably under a pound, a light fixture about 2 inches deep and an eighth of an inch thick, and it filled with water from a leak upstairs? And as I went to open the fridge, it fell and busted my head open.
Yes.
I had bleeding everywhere because the thing weighed 80 pounds when it dropped from the ceiling and weighs maybe a pound dry.
Yeah,
those water leaks, they can ruin your house.
And
most people are not insured for flood, are they?
I don't know. All I know is if you have an old house and you go, we were lucky in that we were home. It's weird. There's two types of luck you have. There's the lucky I wasn't at home and then lucky I was at home.
Yeah.
Somebody breaks into the house and ransacks a place. You do that. Well, it's lucky my kids weren't there or whatever. But when something in the plumbing department goes, lucky you were there. Because if you weren't there and you were on vacation, I would have just come home to open a front door and be swallowed in an avalanche of rubber duckies.
And worse damage than fire, I would think. Because your neighbor is going to see your house and put it out by the time the garage burns, or the kitchen usually. A flood will have soaked your boards, warped your wood, done all this stuff up to 3 feet of water before anybody notices. Your house is probably ruined.
Unless I'm your neighbor and you're an old man who keeps calling building and safety, and I make the proclamation out loud that if I saw that old F's house on fire, I would not call the fire department. I make that proclamation out loud about five different times, and a week later at 9:30 at night, I'm watching TV and my buzzer rings. Somebody's at the gate. Who is it? It's somebody yelling, your neighbor's house is on fire. Call the fire department.
Oh.
Now, I always thought, in my fantasy world, I would just see his house ablaze and hear the muddled scream of the old man as his beard went up in flames. And then laugh, take another sip off my brandy snifter.
Sure.
Paint one more stroke on my Persian cat, right back down to the financial report in my smoking jacket lit my Cuban with the glow of his house in the background. I didn't know somebody was going to call me and tell me, call the fire department, in which case I don't have a great excuse for not calling the fire department.
It's like being the last person to see someone alive and having your last words to them be, I'll kill you one day.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
It was a weird thing, and then I was in a social dilemma because I thought, well, I hope the old F's house burns to the ground. On the other hand, I swore to myself I would not call the fire department if his house is on fire, but I didn't factor in the part where somebody was going to tell me to call the fire department and then stand out front of my house.
Could you have faked the phone call?
I could have got a note from that guy, John Liddell.
Please try your call again later.
Well, what are you going to do when a half hour later the guy rings the buzzer again and goes, dude,
you didn't call?
What happened? I've told you to call the fire department. I thankfully took care of itself. I just stood there stunned, not knowing what to do. I was that committed to letting the guy's house burn down. And I'd given my word to myself that I would not call the fire department. His house was on fire. And I just stood there staring at his house for 80 seconds, and then a fire truck pulled up.
I think your thoughts set his house on fire. Mm. You wished him to the cornfield.
Well, baby, mummy.
We need to take ourselves a little break. But when we come back, a new game we want to unveil. It's not really a game. It's a tale of woe, although I will pick the winner. As I've explained many times, whether it's my grandmother using paper towels two and three times or raising a ruckus because my sister didn't want to use plastic sporks and silverware at her wedding, or my mom sawing off a branch from a pine tree and using it as a Christmas tree, my family is amongst the cheapest human beings on the planet.
I think I have a story that can compete with your family.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Mike Lynch, the show's writer, comes from a super, super cheap family as well.
He's got a list that he's just showed me. I'm telling you and Mike Lynch, I've got you both beat with one story.
See, I'm dying to hear it. See, normally I can trump everyone's stuff because they go, my family is so cheap that one time on vacation, instead of stopping for fast food, my grandfather just killed a dog and we ate it. And I go, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to make light of it, but the Corollas would have never went on vacation. That would have been way too much.
Right.
That would have cost money.
We'd have been thinner. But
yeah, you guys may have went on a cheap vacation. We wouldn't have gone on the vacation. I'm starting to steal your thunder. T has a tale of cheapness. I could give you many more and will. 866-901-ADAM. I want to hear your stories. It's payback time, bitch.
Right.
It's payback. This is my dream. My whole dream was I'm going to get a radio show and talk about how effing cheap my family was. And it has come to fruition. Quick break. Tales of the cheap. 866-901-ADAM. Regale us with yours. We'll tell you ours next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Adam. I just wanted to call and say hi. My name's Casey. I'm in the U.S. Army on my way into drill, and
Just wanted to say that you guys make it all worth it. Go in there every day, get my ass chewed, but at least I go in with a smile on my face. You guys keep it up. Thank you.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I like to complain about how cheap my family was. I say was. They're still cheap. I'm just not living under that cheap roof anymore. I've escaped that prison of cheapness.
Hell yeah. Are they less cheap with their money?
Now, they're, they're downtrodden. They're poor. You know, here's what I don't want to hear from any a-holes right now. Oh, well, you have money, so it's easy for you. I didn't have money my entire life. I went through my entire childhood and well into my adult life with no money. And I mean no insurance, no car insurance, no medical, no dental, no credit cards, nothing. Illegal alien type status all the way through my adult life. I still would pay an extra dollar for a good pizza rather than a cheap pizza, and I would still pay an extra $1.50 to get the topping I wanted on it, because I realized that wasn't the difference. It's not a buck here and a buck there. That's just you punishing yourself. That's not about having the money. You see, that's just being stupid. It's like when you fill up your gas tank, but you only put in $5 at a time. You're just being an idiot.
Right.
You're now having to pull over 5 times for every one time a normal human being does, and you're spending the same money. Actually, you're spending more because of whatever time it takes you to stop and do it.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like the ATM. If you go to the ATM and you take out $20 at a time, you get charged $2. If you take out $300, you get charged $2. You're actually wasting money to be cheap.
And if you take out $20, you're not a Corolla.
I many times did not have the $20 limit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I had $18.50 in there and couldn't get a full 20 out of the thing.
Gotta go in the bank.
You know what? This is such a bummer for me. I never had a bank account before. Partridge Family, I had a court-appointed accountant that paid all the bills.
Yeah.
Then homeless, and you don't need one. And then married, and I didn't need one. I went to write a check the other day, and the guy had to talk me through it. That was totally humiliating.
Good times. Well, my dad never had. Now, it's weird because my dad is just out of it and poor. I wouldn't necessarily call him actively cheap.
Yeah, hello? Yeah.
There's active cheap. There's my dad's not sure where he is or where his wallet is. There's my grandmother. My grandmother's actively cheap. She reuses, you know, like I'll tell you, here's one of the telltale signs of you being really cheap. Everything has value. There's no such thing as you finishing off a jar of mayonnaise or a jar of pickles and tossing the jar. Are you kidding? You become like some sort of, it's like the gods must be crazy. You're some sort of aboriginal tribesman who, and this thing fell from the sky and it's 500 years ago and it can be used to transport water instead of that gourd that leaks. You know what I mean? There's no. My grandmother was like, she had a couple pieces of Tupperware from like the 40s, and then she had Tupperware when it was made of animal hide. It was that, like, you know when you would burp the Tupperware?
Yeah.
You literally burped it. It was a live animal. Right. You'd have to get it in a Heimlich and burp the beast. The point is everything you took home from her, if you took home some goulash that Grandpa made, smelled like pickles or mayonnaise because it came in the mayonnaise jar.
Right.
She collected everything. She reused every paper towel. She would even, when she did construction projects, when I'd build stuff at her house, if I had a piece of drywall, a piece of half-inch drywall that was shaped like a stop sign, that was literally 22 inches by 26 inches and trapezoidally shaped, she would keep that. It would get rained on. It would fall apart. It would get swollen. It would eventually, I would convince her, you have to throw it away. But she would use it like I was going to hang a piece of drywall shaped like someone's liver and the size of a trash can lid on the wall. We have a... Well, let's do our intro,
shall we?
Why
don't we take a five-minute break?
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got lots of stories to tell. Oh, man. T, you got a good one?
Mine, in today's climate, would have had me taken by the state.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating.
Wow. Mike Lynch?
I got some good ones, too.
Mike Lynch has ones.
Underselling.
I will tell you, Mike, I'll tell you this about Mike Lynch, and I will say this about my family on the good side. We never had powdered milk. The powdered milk, I knew I had a few friends. Mike Lynch's family not only had powdered milk, but powdered eggs. As a nine-year-old, tasted powdered milk and was like, this S is repugnant. And then I thought to myself, if you can't afford milk, should you be having kids? Like, if the idea of milk, the basic sustenance of a child's life, if that seems a little too out of reach for you financially, a little pricey, a little much, perhaps you should pull out. If actual milk, real milk, not the milk the astronauts drank, just real milk, if that seems like it's a little rich for your blood, perhaps you should put on a condom.
Perhaps if you can't afford real milk, you're getting pregnant so you can manufacture your own.
Interesting.
And gross.
And gross.
But also true, full of nutrients, real milk.
Yes. All right. We need to take a break. T, you better start yourself a family before your eggs get powdered.
I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
2008, gonna mate.
More tales of the cheap, or I should say from the cheap, next. This time, your calls and our own.
Coming up this morning, boxing great Sugar Ray Leonard.
The crowd chatting Sugar Ray.
Comedian Artie Lang.
If anybody who doesn't do a pregame shot with me right now is a f***ing pussy.
Comedian and fighter Joe Rogan.
2005, pot still illegal. Wow, that's amazing. I could fix everything with pot.
A little round of hobo power, plus Adam takes your home improvement questions. 866-901-ADAM. Broadcast live from sea to shining sea. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're getting back with tales from the cheap. I could just keep going and going. I started thinking about once my parents got divorced and my dad moved out and what he would make for dinner with the generic spaghetti. And then he would dump the ragu, the cold ragu, right into the pot.
That was pot water.
The pot with no handle on it. And then he'd open a can of generic corn and dump that in, mix the whole thing up, and we'd just sit in front of the black and white TV.
You ever open a can with a... like a bottle opener with a sharp end?
Yes.
And go all the way around till you make teeth and they can rip it out?
That's good and desperate.
Yeah, that's desperate. And last night.
All right, where were we? An intro. Tales from the cheap.
Tales from the cheap.
Our writer on the show, Mike Lynch, had super cheap parents. Again, my family was depressed cheap. They just didn't spend money because it involved moving and leaving the house and reaching for their wallet. Mike's parents were sort of active cheap. There's a kind of a cheap that involves you leaving the house, you buying things in bulk, you mixing things yourself. That was your kind of
absolutely.
Cheap, yes?
Yeah.
Give us a couple of tales.
Well, I remember the glasses that we used to drink out of when we were kids, the juice glasses we had, and we used to call them the cheese glasses because they used to be jars that contained spreadable cheese.
this is one of the cornerstones of being cheap is drinking and eating off of things that were other things.
Right,
like,
I
drink out of a mason jar and I eat off of a Frisbee.
Yes.
I drink out of Jackie Mason.
Pan lids are good plates, too.
Yes.
Well, those were the cheese glasses. We also had the other glasses. They were formerly shrimp cocktails. and they said saucy on them, S-A-U-S-E-A. They were 99-cent shrimp cocktails. They probably had a shrimp and a half in them full, and then just horrible tomato sauce.
We never had to endure that indignity. What we did is my mom would buy used cups and used mugs and used glasses and used flatware and used everything from the thrift store. So you were just eating off someone else's, someone who wasn't cheap, but they made the mistake of dying. And now we're going to cheat. We're cheap, and we're going to capitalize on that death and eat off their plates. My grandmother, though, would glue everything that broke back together. Mm-hmm. So there was a decent chance your plate had 6 or 8 fault lines in it and been pasted back together.
Super glue, yeah.
Yeah. And then the worst thing she would do is anytime something broke, and I'm talking about a coffee mug, if a handle broke off it or chipped, she would take the broken pieces and the mug and set them aside in a sort of things to do category. But it would sit there for years as a reminder of how cheap she was. Yes.
I just remembered another one. It was a mug that we had, a coffee mug, that it was one of those 70s smiley faces, yellow smiley face mugs. I just remembered now that it used to contain a potted plant at one point.
That's right.
A little potted plant.
That's a good one. That's
yeah,
a nice one.
Using things for other things. So Mike's family did powdered milk, did powdered eggs.
Yeah, that's a new one for me.
Bulk peanut butter?
No, government peanut butter.
Government peanut butter.
It wasn't your own government peanut butter.
No, it was government peanut butter and the giant orange government cheese that belonged to my grandmother.
You for real did government cheese?
Yeah, it wasn't ours, though. My grandmother was on Social Security and
Did you eat it?
Yeah.
It was your government cheese, dude.
Yeah, we would just take her government cheese
because
she wasn't going to finish it.
Oh, she couldn't finish it.
Yeah, no.
That's a nice thing.
You don't want to waste.
No.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Actually, let's talk to... Now, look, I don't believe this. Danny on line 5 says his mom reused disposable douche. Or actually, douchebags. All right.
Does that mean it's her boyfriend?
15 Danny? Bucks says it's a joke about me.
She would use it for salad dressing. Danny?
Yeah.
You know what? I have that not-so-fresh feeling.
Danny, tell us the story.
That's my mother-in-law. She's keeping her disposable douches in the bathroom and use them again.
No way. That's impossible.
I believe it. I believe it.
What do you mean? I thought that's a plastic bottle.
They're plastic, but they're not cellophane.
You would use the bottle.
Yes.
The container over and over again. Yeah, again, I'm telling you.
A nozzle that might be throwing you.
The first sort of tell that someone is cheap is everything has value. Every shape, every container, everything is something. Again, I always just think about it is if it was 100 years ago and you were out in the West and somebody gave you a 2-liter Coke bottle with a resealable top, that would be worth a wagon.
Right.
To
sure.
You, right. I mean, here it's durable. It doesn't leak. You can transport things in it. That would have been worth a lot. Obviously, it's not worth anything today, but tell that to someone who's really cheap.
You know, I think you might have been thinking, and I could be wrong, you were thinking about the actual liquid that you clean yourself with rather than the container
bag
that you would reuse. Because the bag is not really a bag. It's a solid. It's like an exercise water bottle with a twist and a nozzle.
Yeah.
There'd be no reason not to use it again. And then when you're done with that, it would make a perfect bong.
Ooh,
douche bong. You melt a little pipe right through. It puts a little hole,
dude.
Yeah. Then you melt around.
Now I knew what he was saying. Initially, I just thought it'd be ridiculous that they were use the actual douche, but he uses the douche bong. Fine. Let's see. Someone's too cheap to buy toilet paper.
Ooh.
Stuffed buffet food into pockets. Mother washes out sandwich bags. This sounds like my grandmother. TJ.
Yo.
What's your mom do?
My mother, when I was a kid, would literally make me bring the sandwich bag back from my sack lunch and the sandwich and the sack and would rinse them out and put a new sandwich in it the next day and put it back in the bag for my next day's sack lunch.
Yeah, I am telling you that things that were formerly disposable to regular people are not disposable when you're super cheap, although... Maybe our parents and grandparents were just pioneers in the whole recycling green movement.
Yeah.
They were on the vanguard of this many years ago. We're really born in the wrong era.
Right.
I know I was.
Because they definitely would have been at the forefront of this movement of using everything 10 times and never flushing the toilet.
How would I know that?
Yeah. Now here's the thing. At least my family had no money. So it wasn't just they were cheap.
Yes.
Because there's two types of cheap. There's you can afford to get me X, Y, or Z. You just don't do
it.
There's
miserly.
And then there's miserly. And then there's you can't afford. Either way, you're not going to get the mini bike or you're not going to get to go to space camp. At least one has an excuse.
Right. Yeah.
TJ
mine didn't have the excuse. My parents live in a gated community in what looks like stately Wayne Manor, and my mother still washes out sandwich bags.
Yeah, well, thank you. And let me say this, too, to all you cheap Fs out there.
I wish you were dead.
I am so tired of the I used to be poor excuse.
Right.
I used to be poor, too. Now I have money,
right,
and I spend it.
Yeah.
I used to be a lot of things. You know what I mean? It's like everyone used to be 3 foot tall at some point.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, I know
when,
what you mean.
Gee, when you were six, Danny, when you were 31. No, everybody used to be, I used to be, I used to be, I used to be. Yes, you used to be, and now you're not anymore. Yeah. Get over it. You know that thing where people go, oh, he was made fun of a lot in high school. That's why he has a chip on it. Or she was told she wasn't beautiful, and thus she must. Or they were cheap. Or my father's a product of the Depression. Great. That was 75 years ago. Get over it. And start spending some effing money.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my dad.
Adam, my parents scrimped on transportation.
Oh.
That was their area. That. Well, you know, I was born in beautiful Panorama City down here in L.A. And then my parents got divorced when I was three.
Panorama City's a dump, by the way. And under my regime would not have the name Panorama City or Hawaiian Gardens, which is a dump, too. It would be called, it would have a number, which is 629 out of 650 cities you could possibly live in. One being best, this being the worst. That's the number. Thus, it would fight harder next year to move up the ladder instead of resting on its cool name laurels. But go ahead.
It was an inauspicious beginning, to say the least. So after being born in Panorama City, my parents got divorced when I was three. My mom moved to San Francisco. So they wanted to make sure that I saw both parents. What were they going to do?
Make me some juice.
There was an airline. Do you remember PSA?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this story is a two-parter. First, there was PSA. They would let children fly for $11 between San Francisco and L.A. Do you think anybody accompanied me?
No.
I was 4 years
old. They would have had to pay if they would have.
I was 4 years old on an airplane by myself, which is no longer legal.
But I was going to say, like, that, it seems like.
Wait till I aged out of the $11 ticket. You're not going to believe what happened.
They beat them on a technicality.
Yeah.
Because they thought you would travel with a couple of adults who would pay full fare.
Right.
I saw a kid get on a plane, I guess, day before yesterday when I was in Vegas. And they made him wear a big blue card around his neck saying that, you know, just kind of indicated that he was to be escorted, that he was a child on a flight and needed to be taken to a destination by someone of responsibility. He couldn't have been more than eight.
They give you the plastic wings and they just sit you down in your seat.
They'll still give you the wings.
I was 4 years old. I did this every month. Then I aged out of the $11 ticket.
Every month.
Yeah, it was terrible. Then I aged out of the $11 ticket, Greyhound bus. 10 hours. They put an 8-year-old little girl on a bus. Do you know how scary the people are on a Greyhound bus?
I don't even know. You're being generous calling them people.
It was
mutants.
Terrifying.
Pedophiles.
Then they would stop at
junkies.
They would stop for lunch.
Criminals and the unemployable. Yes.
And so you'd go in the Greyhound station at San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
And another stop in Salinas. And you'd have half an hour in the Greyhound station. I'm 8, 9, 10 by myself. And there's all these posters about runaways and be careful of child
snatchers.
There
were so many pedophiles there.
The
vending machines had 3-year-olds in them. The pedophiles could actually go to a vending machine and get a 3-year-old.
I've had therapists.
They get a cup of noodles. And a 3-year-old. Sorry, I'm going to tear up, too.
And they go, what do you mean? I said, they just put me on the bus. I thought that was normal. I didn't know. But you know what? I thought it was normal.
That is a $100,000 bar right there. Can I get the $20 more next to it? I'll have that in the vending machine.
They got confused because they did this every month. And to their credit, it was good that they, you know, I got to see my dad who lived in L.A. Mm-hmm. But once they got confused because there's two airports here. There's LAX and there's Burbank. Well, once I got off the plane with my little plastic wings, no one to pick me up. I was four. Dad was at the wrong airport.
But Dad didn't have that routine down. I mean, why is he heading to LAX?
I think they figured out which, you know, whatever flight they could get. And it's sometimes, if he only did it once.
Look, I would.
I love my dad.
I would cry you a river. This is pathetic. It borders on abuse. But I can still, again, I can trump anyone's story of cheapness that has to do with transportation because I never saw an airplane before my 30th birthday. There's no one in my family went on an airplane.
Wow.
No, it would have cost money to do something involving something. They did not. What would we have done on an airplane? Go on a vacation?
Didn't cost me anything, but I'd seen lots of the world by that age.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'd never been out of North Hollywood.
That's one thing. I'm not afraid to fly.
And we had, there was no...
I'm not afraid of Xanax.
We never had a car that could make it out of the city either. So there was no, you couldn't go up to the mountains to go skiing or anything. The car wouldn't physically make it. There were VWs, and they were getting, vapor lock and overheating. And there was always a chance at one of the retreads. There's a smooth move. My mom would buy retreads. These were tires that were deemed not usable anymore, except for somebody crazy glued on tread from another tire, except for every so often the tread would just peel off the tire at 60 miles an hour.
Don't you love having money now? Does it ever get old?
Oh, no. Yes. For that, though, because I was talking about this to a girl yesterday, and I said, I thought we got it flat. And I said, there was a time in my life not very long ago where this would have been a disaster of major and operatic proportions. I wouldn't know what to do because I also lived in it. What would I do? And now it is so cool that I can just fix my tire. And she said, I still live on that kind of money. If I get a flat tire, I am ruined. And she was so serious, and I just came out of my mouth, not if you were to give me a retread. You give me a retread, I'll buy you a tire. And she was all being serious. I felt like scum.
It is. It does make you appreciate it more. And that flying alone at 4 is
pathetic. It was very terrifying.
On the other hand, they wanted to see you.
Yeah. Their heart was in the right place.
And it involved an airplane. I don't even know where to begin. I loved football. I had a football with no threads in it, like Charlie Brown. Found it at a
hell
park.
Yeah.
And I used to have to, my dad used to tell me, ask for the scholarship for Pop Warner football. It was like $35, but they wanted the $10 one. I was humiliated. Again, do not give me that. We didn't have money. You had
some
money. A, go make some. B, I'm not talking about buying a Lexus for your 16-year-old. I'm just talking about the basics. And if you want to hear, there's cheap and then there's stupid. My dad was cheap and stupid in that.
Oh, it was an attractive combination.
And that, I got a bunch of scholarship offers when I was in high school. I could have gotten a $100,000 education for free. Now, my dad had never seen $100,000. He never went to college. Thus, he didn't care. I would have needed some intervention. Somebody would have had to get hold of me and say, look, there are these things called the SATs. Mm-hmm. You have to get, double digits in these things. Otherwise, you can't go to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo or Cal Poly Pomona or Marshall or UC Davis or any of the other crappy little football schools that want your undersized ass.
You had 50 points for getting your name right?
But isn't somebody would have had to intervene, and said, look, you need to do this or do that. It would have cost $80, but the point is I could have got $100,000 worth of free education.
My baby.
Good times. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. I love doing the news, T.
I know, but there's so many good calls.
And
so much good news.
And also, Artie Lang is going to be on the phone, one of my favorite guys as well. All right, there's Tales from the Cheap.
Join us next time for more Tales from the Cheap.
Say quickly, the only thing I really want to do with my money now that I have a little is buy stuff for my parents. That's the most fun thing to do.
I want a different kind of animals to come by and defecate near my dad's
near his grave. That llama set Bonaducci back a pretty penny.
Serious biz, when my wife and we were first married, desperately in love, and I was trying to get all the flower guy and doing everything I could. We drove up to Zion, Illinois, to visit the gravesite of her mother. And I'm just trying to be cool and nice and like my wife. I don't care. I never met the lady. And I'm smoking, and I just throw my cigarette down on the ground, and I just put my cigarette out on her mom. I didn't even think about it. Guys who smoke just put their cigarettes down and stomp them out.
3 years before she passed.
She looks at me. Well, she had to do it sometime. But literally, she looked at me, and she goes, what are you doing? I went, what do you mean? She goes, look what you've done. And there's this little pile of cigarette butts right by her mom's name at the headstone. I've been just going, okay. This is great. Zion, Illinois.
That is see you in hell territory, Bonaducci.
I didn't mean it, though. There was no malice.
Bury me at Zion would be a great Western. Start riding that mic. All right, we'll take a break. Artie Lang.
He's funny.
Man's man, Artie Lang, on the show next. Joe will be in a little bit later. Quick change of plans. Artie Lang, who is going to be on the show, is not going to be on this break. He'll be on in about an hour. A little time confusion with the New York affiliate.
I can't believe that still happens. That happens to me all the time. You know, somebody will screw it up. They'll go, okay, 6 a.m., and they mean 9.
Right.
It's like, don't you have that by now? Doesn't some engineer somewhere have that by now?
Doesn't, nope, they don't seem to. I have my agents in New York, and every time I talk to him, he'll go, well, it's 5 o'clock out here, so that means it's 8 o'clock where you are. And I go, no, baby doll, it goes the other way.
But at least your agent is going up.
At least.
The numbers are rising.
Yes, I always tell him round up. T?
Yep.
Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Dwayne Dog Chapman, star of the A&E reality series Dog the Bounty Hunter, is in serious trouble after the National Enquirer posted audio on its website of Dog using the N-word multiple times. It happened during a phone call between Dog and his son, Tucker, who works for his bail bonds business. During a heated argument, Dog tells Tucker he has to either find a new job or dump his girlfriend Monique because she's black. On the phone, Dog claims his position is not motivated by racism. Instead, he says he's worried because in their family, the N-word is apparently used quite frequently. Here is how Dog eloquently and tolerantly explains his position to his son on the tape.
Care she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Enquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating a, we would all say you. And you know that.
Oh, sweet.
Ironically, he name checks the Enquirer in this hypothetical situation. Would you like to hear some more?
I'll say what? Let's limit it to 3 hours.
Okay.
And it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word. We don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur. Because our son goes with a girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids to, because I'm in love for 7 months. I f***ed that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her and she's out of your life. I can't handle that. I got him in the parking lot trying to record us. I got that girl saying she's going to wear a recorder.
I don't even know what...
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
It's tough. You throw around a certain word a lot. You got to be careful.
I kind of. You can't, of course, side with Dog. You can't. There's just even if I did, I wouldn't. But you can't side with him. But the fact is, it's an interesting theory that we've just gotten used to saying, I'll use my own ethnic background so I feel I can get away with it. You know, we say Guinea and Wop and Dago in this house. And you can't bring a Dago in this house because one of us is going to slip up. And they're going to say, hey, the Smiths use the word Dago and WAP all the time. And they'll ruin us. I can see his logic. I just can't see a family that tosses the N-word around so much. They have to worry it'll ruin their career.
There is no racial bigotry here.
And he was saying it like they go, please pass the N-word. How are you feeling today? N-word-ish?
Well, I mean, the way he said it was, please pass the N-word because you know they're too lazy to get here on their own. I mean, he couldn't have been more rude while trying not to be horrifying. But you know what makes me sad about that? My daughter calls him Uncle Dog. Because he was so sweet.
Well, he requested to be called Uncle N-Word.
How about the irony that a guy who is named Dog is being accused of tossing around the N-Word too much? You know what I mean?
Right.
Too much?
Well.
As opposed to just the right amount?
I just mean Dog. First off, how many white guys have the name Dog? I think that makes you an honorary brother.
No, the guy I was calling Big
Dog. He's in. I say he gets grandfathered in.
The guy I was talking to.
He can use the N-word all he wants.
And he talked to me yesterday on the phone from Camacho's. I called him Big Dog because he kept calling me Dog. So I kept calling him Big Dog because he was so big. But he was a Mac 10 and was totally into it. He loves being called Big Dog.
Well, A&E is not into it.
Yeah, that's not the... Yeah.
They've suspended production
of
Dog the Bounty Hunter.
The guy looks like a pro wrestler. His wife looks like... She looks like a stripper who got too fat, so they put her behind the bar.
Yes. Like on the Cat House show, the one that makes the appointments?
Once in a while, when they put them out to pasture, it's funny. Like, that's got to be an uncomfortable conversation. You know what
we're
I would do?
Take me off the pole.
You know what I would do? Please don't take me off the pole. That's all I am. If I had a strip
club. I'll die if I have to go behind a desk.
When I have a strip club. I'm going to, and I will, or a cat house, and I will use the same thing the airlines use with the carry-on baggage. There will be a template. It's a metal template. If your bag does not fit into this metal template, you must check it. If your ass doesn't make it into this, you're off the pole, bitch.
Right. Done.
That's the way I go. Every
or vice
month,
versa.
Don't take me off
every,
the pole.
Every month, everyone has to walk through this thing. You have to squeeze your ass into it. If you can't pack your ass into it, I will check your ass behind the desk.
But if your ass doesn't fit the pole or the pole doesn't fit your ass, you got to be off it.
Dog. So the ironically named Dog is being brought up on racist charges. And the thing that's funny about that conversation is
everything.
It sounds like
you
he
hear it again,
knows he's being recorded. It's a weird thing where he goes
suspicious.
Like,
they're
we
outside.
Use a lot of this kind of information. We use these words a lot. We don't mean anything by these words, of course, but you know we use these words as if somebody had recorded him saying those words earlier and he thought maybe that was going to come out. If you think about it, he A, says he's suspicious he's being recorded or about being recorded. He has some suspicion about that, number one. Two, just listen to it. Listen to the first one again. Listen how he describes it, and he's really almost doing it like somebody's going to hear it.
Care she's a Mexican, a whore, whatever. It's not because she's black.
Not because.
It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some heard us say and turned us into the Inquirer magazine. Our career is over. I'm not taking that chance at all. Never in life. Never. Never. If Lisa was dating a, we would all say you. And you know that.
Let me hear the second one more time, Bald Brian.
It's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word we don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that.
We don't mean that.
But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur. Because our son goes with a girl like that. I can't do that, Tucker. You can't expect Gary, Bonnie, Cecily, all them young kids to, because I'm in love for 7 months. I f***ed that. So I'll help you get another job, but you cannot work here unless you break up with her. And she's out of your life. I can't handle that.
It is. I now just think we're all going to be trained at a certain point, you know, between Alec Baldwin and his phone message to his young daughter being splashed all over the news.
I was cool with
or
that.
This. I'm cool with all of it. I just realize our kids are going to grow up in an environment where they are going to have to assume that whatever they say or whatever they do may end up on cable at some point.
Right.
There's almost nothing you can do anymore that there's not video surveillance of. And now, if you make a cell phone conversation, it's going to get picked up. So we're going to have this world where I'm going to be talking to someone on the cell phone and I'm going to be going, listen, you fat ass bitch. And not that I have anything against fat people, because they're Americans and they're entitled to the same rights and privileges as every other American. When I say fat ass bitch, I'm talking about you as an individual, not fat people in their totality
asses
as a whole.
And
when
bitches.
I say asses, I have nothing against the donkey community.
I don't covet my neighbor's ass.
Yes, I just think you're going to have to work these apology / sort of caveat / excuses into every conversation you have now, because everything will be recorded and it's all fair game. Look, it's funny. Who cares? The guy looks like a pro wrestler. His
People
wife looks
rednecks.
Like a stripper that got pulled off the pole. And I just find this whole thing amusing. And The other thing that I want all my black brothers who are listening to understand, as well as everyone from any ethnic group.
You mean that guy Steve?
We have one black listener, yeah. Steve. When you get into somebody and you're not speaking too kindly about that somebody, you bring up whatever that somebody is. If that person is Samoan, then it's the Samoan bitch. And you'll bring up whatever, sure, whatever that is. If the person has a big nose, then it's big nose bitch. If
bald?
The chick is bald, it's bald. If it's fat ass, it's fat ass. Whatever the nationality or predominant feature, we figure out your most predominant feature. Occasionally, we'll combine them. We'll go fat ass Samoan bitch. You see, we'll work in if you're fat and you're Samoan, or you're fat and you're Mexican, or you're right. Fat and sure. Fat will piggyback onto any race or
anything, nationality.
Or almost any just actual back if you don't watch yourself.
We will, when we're talking about somebody that we're not in love with, we will figure out whatever the first thing is we notice about them, be it their color, be it their shape or size. If they have a lazy eye, oh, believe me, that will get woven in. And if they're an American with a disability, if they're in a wheelchair, we will work that in first. So before everyone goes around thinking everyone is racist, understand, when we're talking poorly about somebody, it's whatever their most predominant thing is that hops to the lead, that hops to the top.
Because as a Caucasian male, when people get mad at me and want to call me a name, now I make a very comfortable living. What did we figure out the other day that the average income is $49,000?
43 or 4.
43. I have this show, and I have the next TV show is coming out. I do all right. Do you know what people call me when they're mad? First thing that pops out of their mouth? Has-been. First thing.
Oh, yeah.
Has-been. What are you talking about? I have a radio show and a TV show. I make more money than I ever did in my whole life. Has-been, washed up, loser. That's the first thing
out
of their
offended?
Mouth.
I didn't know you were in the room, Danny.
Dude, I'm just so used to it.
I was just blowing off steam.
It's, you know what? You'd think it would be short.
Well, I was going to get to it, and then I saw you come in. No, yes, and you can't use has-been when you're talking about your son's 23-year-old black girlfriend. You have to use the N-word. Sad but true. All right, T.
Although you're a washed-up N-word, does that mean you're now white?
Interesting. Yes, T.
Dog has apologized. I don't have 20 minutes to read you his entire
apology. I'm sure he meant every word of it.
I will just say, let me just excerpt this. I have the utmost respect and aloha for black people who have already suffered so much due to racial discrimination and acts of hatred. I did not mean to add yet another slap in the face to an entire race of people who have brought so many gifts to this world. Goes on. And on. Dog, sorry.
If we keep secretly recording white people, there's going to be race riots.
It's scary to think about what goes on.
I know, because we were telling black people for years, we don't say that when you're not in the room. Well, as it turns out, seems like every cop and every bounty hunter and every white person. I'm surprised Baldwin didn't drop a few N-bombs when he was talking to his daughter. That would have been awesome.
Poor, and they are so black.
Oh.
All right, where are we?
Well, let me get to this. We spoke to Shirley Phelps yesterday, and she seemed in a mood. She seemed not herself. She was filibustering, and she hung up on us.
She said, "Then you just want me so bad. Why do you keep calling me that?" And I went, "Well, then just hang up. Go away."
Turns
and
out,
she took me at my word and hung up.
She had one heck of a day yesterday. I don't know if you've heard, but the Westboro Baptist Church
killed her.
Was ordered by the courts yesterday to pay $10.9 million in damages to a man named Albert Snyder, after members of that church held a protest during the funeral of his fallen Marine son.
Awesome.
With the message being that the Iraq war was a punishment for Americans' tolerance of homosexuality. After the ruling, the ruling was that the church had to pay $2.9 million in compensatory damages. The jury also awarded $6 million in punitive damages and threw in another $2 million for emotional distress. They also found the church's reverend, Fred Phelps, that's Shirley Phelps Roper's dad, and Shirley Phelps Roper herself guilty for invasion of privacy and intent to cause emotional pain.
Good. I have two thoughts. First off, back to Dog for a second. If you're talking about a homosexual individual who you don't like, gay. Boo-hoo-hoo. Wow. That is at the top of the list of epitaph when you're throwing that those
now,
racial
are you just
ones around.
Trying to be careful not saying the F word, because I think the F word beats the G word. If you're actually mad.
Oh.
Because I've got friends gay all the time.
Of course. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I forgot about your sexual proclivity when I was talking about the list of being fat or being Mexican or being black or being Samoan or being whatever. Your sexual whatever hops to the top of that list. Now,
if you tell me about a fat homosexual, you're kind of describing Perez Hilton.
Shirley Phelps.
Yeah.
I don't like lawsuits. I really don't. And my feeling normally is no harm, no foul. But in this case, this is so egregious. I couldn't imagine anything worse. You just lost your 20-year-old son. You're trying to mourn his passing. And these religious nut jobs are out causing a ruckus by chanting that God hates fags and all that kind of stuff. That is morally reprehensible. And if there's not a law to keep them from doing it, then I'm all for this, keeping them from doing it.
Actually, there's a law for making sure they're allowed to do it. It's called the First Amendment.
Right.
It's a drag.
I can dig it. And again, I'm not the frivolous lawsuit type. I'd like to live in a world where there was no lawsuits.
You know,
but in this particular case, I'm completely fine with it.
See, how do you feel about this? And I don't mean to bring it up because I don't think it's about me and I'm not supposed to talk about it. But this Fair Play guy is suing me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, he knows he can't win. The district attorney has said he attacked me. He knows he can't win. But he also knows my lawyer is going to cost me $25,000 to win. So he wants probably, I'm guessing this part, I'm just guessing, he wants 5 or 10 to go away.
Right.
But since he called a lawyer, I can't talk to him. I could make him 10 times that money being my opening act, doing talk shows together. You know what I mean? You can turn this litigious society on its head and figure out a much better way than to pretend you found a finger in your bottle of soda. You know, people are hacking off fingers and putting them in their bottles of soda. This guy is going to sue me despite his face.
Yeah, but most people don't have that option of using the person as an opening act or making money with the person.
There is other ways to absolutely do. I've seen neighbors sue each other until they were poor over a property line, over a gerrymander line.
Yeah, I mean, that's just stupid and throwing good money after bad. But most people like Phelps and company can't go on the road with the dad of the fallen soldier.
Sure. No. I mean, it's nice to know that doing that at someone's funeral and holding up your God hates homophobic slur, signs, which she does, is considered an invasion of privacy. And the jury couldn't have made a stronger verdict with $10.9 million.
Good. I hope they go bankrupt. She surely has to turn to prostitution.
Well, she is.
I don't believe for a minute that'd be a first.
She and her church are reportedly planning to appeal the decision. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Yeah, the super religious nut jobs always have that out where they go, I don't obey man's laws.
Right.
Mine
now
are a mandate for higher power. Right.
But 7 of the 10 commandments are laws. It's the first 3 that don't really make sense, but the other 7 are pretty much the law books.
I'm just saying, whether it's the fundamentalist Islamic folks or the Hasidic Jews or the super right-wing Christians and Catholics, I've had an ass full of all you retards. I really have. And please, as a sane society, can we stop respecting everyone and their retarded beliefs? You guys are idiots. You just are. It's pie-in-the-sky fairy tale crap, and I'm tired of going along with it. Look, I include all of you in this. If you're into Santeria, nut job. If you're into Jehovah, nut job. Born again, nut job. All this respect we have to have. Oh, this guy believes in Allah. Oh, this guy believes in Jesus Christ. Or this guy believes in killing a chicken. You're all nuts. It's all pie-in-the-sky, and there's a little part of your pea-sized brain that don't believe it. And that's why you get violent.
It's a good one.
That's why you get violent. Because if you believed it and you knew it, we wouldn't hear from you.
See, I'm a Christian, and Jesus died on the cross, and that's what you have to do. But in Santeria, you cut the chicken's head off, and it keeps running around. And you got to go, hey, that's pretty cool.
That is life after death.
None of the other religions did that. Cut the head off something and kept running around the room all mad at you.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
That is a pretty compelling argument for religion.
I'm going for Santeria right after the show.
I am too. Kookaroos. We'll take a quick break. Speaking of cuckoo, Joe Rogan.
I want to see Joe.
Joe is going to be at the House of Blues tonight in Anaheim. We'll bring him in here. Always something to say and always provocative. Joe Rogan next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I can fix everything with pot. I can fix all this bullshit in the Middle East. Stop sending troops over there, dude. Let's just calm that area down a little bit. Just crop duster planes filled with chronic smoke. Just bomb. And I'll just be standing in the street.
Dude, what the f*** are we doing with our lives, man? I mean, look at this, man. It's 2005. I'm dressed like a f***ing genie. Okay, I have the internet, but dancing's illegal. Bro, what the f*** are we doing?
Now Joe Rogan is on the Adam Carolla Show.
I agree, and I have said many times, Joe Rogan, if you gave me the choice between living amongst, if I had a neighborhood and you told me you're going to buy a new house in the neighborhood, there's 500 houses, everyone smokes copious amounts of weed, you can move into that neighborhood, into that house, or you can move into a neighborhood, it's rich, everyone is sober, but there's one house where they just do tons of speed.
Oh, that's a scary house.
I would say move me into the Hesher hood.
Yeah, you
move me into
those
the neighborhood.
Chainsaws in the middle of the night.
Yes, that's the difference between drugs and drugs. And our society, or the man, as it were, does not seem to know that. It's just a war on drugs.
Well, the propaganda machine was so powerful in the 30s when they instituted it against marijuana that it still works today. Even though basically every single university test, every medical test they've ever done on marijuana, all shows the same thing. It's got zero health
risks. You know what I would liken it to? I don't know why it rhymes and it's going to sound nuts, but war on drugs is like saying war on bugs in that we don't want to eradicate every bug.
No.
We don't want cockroaches in our house, but bees pollinate crops and we actually need them. So there's certain bugs that are good and certain bugs that are bad and certain drugs that are good and certain ones that are bad. I'd be fine with more people smoking more
dope. Well, the problem is it's a giant broad umbrella. It's drugs and it covers everything from NyQuil to, you know, psychedelic mushrooms. And they all have very different effects. And these very different effects, some of them are healthy for you and some of them are very dangerous for you. Some of them you become instantly addicted to. Some of them you become instantly enlightened. I mean, there's a huge difference.
Well,
between
let me ask you that.
Psychedelics.
What one would make you become instantly enlightened?
Well, DMT, dimethyltryptamine, for one, is one that's produced by your pineal gland, which is literally your third eye. It's a gland in the middle of your brain, and on reptiles, it actually has a retina and a cornea and a lens, and it produces the most potent psychedelic drug known to man called dimethyltryptamine, and your brain produces it right before you die under periods of extreme stress when your body thinks it's going to die and in heavy REM sleep.
And what about
it's an intense, incredible psychedelic that when you do it, you literally transform. You go to another dimension and you communicate with enlightened beings.
Where do I get this, Joe?
Well, you get it every night while you sleep. You just don't remember.
But
the problem is it exists in every single ecosystem. It's a natural human neurotransmitter, and yet it's one of the most illegal drugs on the planet.
What about the nicking of the Colorado spotted toad?
That's a type of dimethyltryptamine. That's 5-methoxy.
Is that what it is?
Okay. That's 5-methoxy dimethyltryptamine. 5-MeO.
Well, you're great at this. Okay, one last question then, because I was in this discussion last night. There's methamphetamines now, which make people insane. It's just out of their minds, dangerous hacksaw people.
Yeah.
I never heard it before. I quit drugs before that drug came out. But
meth has been around for a long time, man.
I've been off illegal drugs, except for roids, for a really, really, really long time.
The 40s.
There was meth, really?
I thought meth was just speed.
Well, see, that's what I was going to ask him, because that was a discussion last night.
Meth?
Is there still speed, and is there still meth, or are they now the same
thing? There's different types of amphetamines. I think there's a bunch of different amphetamines. And actually, you know, one thing that people think, what's that stuff that comes from the cactus?
Guave?
Prickly
stuff?
No, you're talking
masculine,
about peyote
yes,
or mescaline? Well, mescaline comes from the peyote cactus.
Right.
Or not from the, what is it,
I don't remember.
Well, there's the names. There's the
there's stuff, a very famous
there's
cactus,
the tequila cactus, and then there's the
agave?
Other cactus. No,
yeah. There's a cool story about the
it's like
the,
a saint.
I what's it called in the cactus, cactus again? The
mescaline.
Mescaline.
Mescaline does
Chris
come from
Brando
some cactus.
And I, well, not I. He had the mescaline or the stuff to grow the cactus, and he used to carve the strychnine out. You have to cut the strychnine out.
The strychnine is
no,
that
no,
too?
That's peyote, I think.
Oh. All right, well, I'm going
to
cut it out.
This is a horribly uninformed conversation.
Yes, it is.
Don't listen to us. Don't go eating the wrong cactus.
Yeah, he would feed it to the
my
squirrels.
My point is, it's an amphetamine.
And watch them die at high school.
What a delight.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
I will tell you,
I used to get in this argument with Dr. Drew all the time because Dr. Drew was very anti-drug.
He could use some drugs. Dr. Drew could use a mushroom trip.
Yes.
He was even anti-pot.
He didn't care about pot, and but he wasn't uptight about it. But he just said, you know, a lot of people would say it helps with the creative process, and he would say it doesn't. You're just high, and you think you are.
Oh, he's so wrong.
But
couldn't be more wrong. Could not be more wrong. I love it when people who don't do it tell you about
you
the effects
of it. You think
it
makes you funnier and more creative?
For sure, 100%. Absolutely.
That may be
it does something
thing.
To your brain. It absolutely has different effects on different people.
I know I'm funnier when everyone else is high.
Right.
They're definitely funnier when they're high. But I will tell you this, and I'm sort of, I know what he's saying, and I know what Joe's saying, and I respect both the opinions. But the thing about drugs, we live in a society where you're forced to tune out many, many, many things. Otherwise, you couldn't get out of bed in the morning. Your head would explode.
Right.
If you just landed on this planet like a newborn and looked around and saw women painting their faces with makeup and us carpet bombing villages,
yeah.
If you saw what goes on and if you saw, somebody saying that gambling was immoral and illegal, and then you passed a bunch of signs for the state lottery on your way into work, your head would explode. You realize there's so much hypocrisy and there's so many things that we just have to tune out. You have to tune out, otherwise you would freak
out.
You would
freak.
Partnership for a Drug-Free America run by the alcohol company.
Right. When you do mushrooms, you are back to newborn.
Back to you don't even exist.
You get to see
it all.
You see
Come on, Amy.
You see things through new eyes. And what I'm saying is you again, you must tune out so much in your life in order to exist that you don't know it. And when that gets removed and you're able to tune into everything, it freaks you out.
Well,
I'm not
it
saying
just
it makes
freak you.
You smarter.
It's a wake up. It does make you smarter. It makes you more aware. You know, and what the mushroom thing is the craziest thing because most people, when they do mushrooms, they do like a little dose and they get a little giggle. But the real key to mushrooms is the real ego dissolving experience is you have to take a lot.
But what
you
about
take
this?
Like 5 dry grams. It'll make you sick for sure.
What
that
about
tastes terrible.
Joe, is it true? You know how some people are in autumn and some are in winter and we all have different coloring. Don't some people's psyches go better with certain drugs? For example, hallucinogens are terrible for me. I don't want to see things for the first time. I just want my brain to quiet down. So I like a nice narcotic.
Well, that's your personality, it sounds like. It
but
sounds like what you want to deal with and what you don't.
Now, not everybody should do every drug.
Right.
Do whatever you want,
but on
for
the
sure.
On the
but
other,
you shouldn't deny the benefits
on the other
of it
hand,
because
well,
it's not good
here's
for you.
What you really don't want to do is mix them. Like one time,
oh, yeah,
I was
dangerous.
High as a kite. Well, not me. I was high as a kite on mushrooms. And my stupid buddy Ray came over high as a kite on coke.
Oh, no.
Oh! And his stupid girlfriend was higher than he was on coke.
Oh.
And she insisted on having one of those coke conversations
me
when I was high as a kite. Here's how it went.
Okay.
We're locked in a bathroom. Ray's banging on the door yelling, what are you two doing in there? She's having that weird coke conversation where she goes, I knew you were one of Ray's best bros, and I don't know why you don't like me.
Oh.
And I'm like,
no.
And I'm like, dude, like you, I love everyone, man. I love you.
You mushroomed out.
You see that towel hanging by the sink? I love that towel. You see that hamper? I love it. She's beaked out of her brain on coke, and Ray's like, oh, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, towel gone. Please take me
coke
away.
Coke is the worst drug.
The worst drug.
I've never tried it.
I've never done it either. I've never done coke, but I have drank a tea called mate de coco that's made with cocoa leaves. And I couldn't shut up. And I was doing it with Doug Stanhope, and I was like, dude, I can't shut the F up. I can't. I just can't. I just kept. It was
Is that
ridiculous.
What it was like for you, Adam?
I was
on
like,
coke?
Oh, this is a terrible drug.
Well, I wasn't on
but
coke.
But have you ever been on
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
And you just can't stop talking?
Well, I can't stop complaining when I'm asleep. Wait till I get coked up.
That's what I'm saying.
No, here's the thing about coke, and I will say this about coke. I had done coke a couple of times in my life. Now, keep in mind, when coke was popular, I was making $8 an hour, and coke was $125 a gram.
I know what you're talking about.
So you do that math. How much?
That's an eight ball now.
How much crawling underneath someone's house and digging are you willing to do for what is essentially just a little speck of powder? I didn't do much coke. There's good coke and there's bad coke. One time, my buddy brought some good coke back from Miami, and I did good coke, and I went, oh, this is what people are talking about. Not the speedy stepped on coke, but the coke that just makes you feel like Superman. And I don't mean Superman, I'm going to beat everyone up in the room. Just, I've never looked better. I've never felt stronger. I've never fill in the blank. Like, there is good coke, and I understand why people are into that.
I hated it.
Keep it away.
But I did want to say something about Joe.
No
desire. We were talking about how he does the MMAs. At this, do you mind if I say the name of Jim?
Sure, Legends.
Legends Gym. It's right between Sunset and Hollywood on La Brea. And the reason I say Legends is between Sunset and Hollywood on La Brea is because I figure maybe a free membership now. But anyway, you had mentioned that sometimes you do it buzzed.
Oh, I do it high all the time. Jiu-jitsu.
He was grappling with a guy, and I said, I can't tell. And I'm talking to a guy right next to Joe because I'm a beginner. I know how to box fairly well. I'm a third-degree black belt, but can't fight, because when I learned karate, they didn't teach you to hit people. Right, everything stopped three-quarters inch of a person. But when I saw Joe, and I asked the guy, I said, who's in a better position here? I can't tell. Joe was on the bottom, but had his knees around the guy, and the guy looked like he was winning, and the guy goes, no, Joe has him. Never changed his facial expression once. He never looked like he was angry. He never looked like he was struggling. And I thought to myself, because I knew what he had said, that man is absolutely in the zone. Nothing's bothering him.
Well, by the way, did the UPS guy tap out, or was it Joe?
He's a real guy, dude.
Anyone who walks through the door is fair game when Joe says dojo.
I thought you were great.
Joe in dojo.
Wow.
I really did. I thought you were fabulous, man.
How do you do that? Like I've tried to get high when I used to do construction. Guys would get high all the time. And they would show up and start blowing joints at 7 a.m. in the morning.
I did Fear Factor high every single episode.
Really?
Every single episode after season one, I would take pot lollipops to work with me.
How do you do it? Like,
you because that was the only... No. I buy them from the pharmacy. That's the only way that I could deal with the contestants. I would, because if I didn't, then they would annoy me and all the ego and all the, you're killing me. And then I was always happy that it was a job and it was great money and all, but it's a dumb show to me. I mean, it's dumb entertainment. That's what it's supposed to be.
Right.
I mean, it's supposed to be mindless entertainment.
Fair. Right.
You know, but you being there after, you know, you do 20 or 30 episodes, we did like 148. After a while, you're like, okay, am I really still doing this? Yeah. Like, this is so boring.
Can you eat that in front of people, the Kush Pop?
Oh, yeah. I tell everybody. It was like an on-set joke. Have you had your lollipop? I'm like, let's get the party started. Yeah. And bring the contestants.
You didn't care.
But then I wanted to do the show. Yeah. I would have the lollipop, and then I was like, now I'm fascinated.
So you can do jiu-jitsu stone.
Yes.
Absolutely. And also, you don't worry about acting stone looking stone. Like, would you worry that the camera would think you were stone?
Who cares? I am. I tell people on the radio. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't think it's something people should hide. I really don't think it's something people should hide. I think it's a very weird thing that we try to make it like it's a bad thing. It's not bad. It makes people nicer, makes them funnier. It's like, what's bad about it? The only thing bad about it is that it's illegal. The only reason it's illegal because of ignorance. I mean, if you look at it statistically, if you look at the numbers, cigarettes should be illegal. Kill 400,000 people a year.
I wish they were.
Marijuana kills zero. In 10,000 years of use, there's never been a single death attributed to pot.
I would do anything if I could not get my hands on cigarettes, because I can't quit. I smoked 3-pack today. I would do anything.
I have friends that have tried to quit. It's horrible to watch, man. It's horrible to watch them look at other people smoke and just...
But when you were fighting that guy, and fighting might be the wrong word,
because
you were one... We weren't even sparring, really, because it wasn't... You never got up. You stayed on the ground. It was a practice thing.
Well, it's jiu-jitsu sparring. That's, you know, but what it is, ground fighting.
I don't know that much about it, but what I do know is I saw a guy hustling all around Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan... often with his eyes closed, and me asking another guy, what's happening? How's Joe doing? Joe's my friend, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, Joe's got him. Joe's doing this right. Joe's doing this right. But his face never changed. And the other guy, who obviously wasn't high or was on meth, is moving at 1,000 miles an hour trying to get the advantage on Joe.
That guy that I was rolling with is a really good wrestler. That's the difference.
Was he then being kind to you? Because you were
No, he's a really good wrestler. And I'm much more experienced in jiu-jitsu, and he's much more experienced in wrestling. Wrestling is like, it's grappling, but they don't really know submissions, but they're very good at positioning, very good at holding you down, very strong guy, you know, and my thing is just finding the spot where I could finish him.
You looked brilliant at him, because you looked like you had described it.
Well, thank you, but it's a lot of fun, man. You know what it is? It's like a form of meditation.
Sounds like a party.
Because it's so hard to do.
A sleeper hold.
You got to learn to tap, bitch.
I'm going right to Legends Gym. It's fun, man. On the Brea between Sunset and Hollywood after the show.
Because it's so involving that you lose everything. You know, you can't think about your bills or you got to call your mom. You can't think about those things. You're so involved in what's happening because you're trying to kill each other.
I always said that about football, and it's the one thing I always miss about playing football, and I do suspect it's the thing people like about drugs and about sports and about sex.
Oh, yeah.
People are looking to escape.
Yes.
And the reason people crave sex so much is that moment when you're really engaged, especially when you're just about to finish.
You're not thinking about nothing.
There is nothing else that goes through your mind, and we live in a society where we have a constant ticker of things just streaming through our brains at 1,000 miles an hour, and when it's just you and another sweaty guy in a gi, and you think he's going to choke the life out of you, there's no you going, I wonder if I kept the receipts for next year's tax year. Are we in the fiscal year this year? No, the guy's going to choke you, and all you can think about is survival. And the thing I loved about football, and I always said it, I have a brain that won't shut off. But when I played football, once the ball was snapped and the play started, all you did was react. Right. There was no, I wonder what's happening. There's no intellectualizing of anything. It was, that guy's going out to the flat, and I think he's going to get the screen pass, and I'm going to go try to blow it up. And this guy's trying to choke me out. I'm going to try to stop him from choking me out. And that's all you do, and it's a form of escape, wouldn't you say?
It's a little bit of that, and it also elevates your human potential. There's something about doing something very difficult and learning how to do things that are very difficult that give you a very deep understanding of yourself. And when you gain a very deep understanding of yourself, it changes the way you look at yourself. You get yourself a little bit better.
You know what you need? You need a sports drink that tastes like bong water.
Who wants to drink bong water?
Big Joe's bong water. I'm just saying,
really,
you're taking your two loves and combining them.
Do you do sports drinks?
Do I do them?
Yeah, do you take them?
I will drink a Red Bull upon occasion.
We have this. There's a new product on the show that's so good. It's called Way Up. Try that.
Yeah, okay.
It's got the stuff that jazzes you up to get you up there, but also 20 grams of protein.
Well, good. Joe Rogan.
Away, like W-H-E-Y?
That's exactly right.
Okay, cool.
Joe, always enlightening. Joe is going to be at the House of Blues tonight.
In Anaheim. I will definitely be baked.
Baked off his ass, but that does not slow him down or his comedy. Tonight, House of Blues, and then at the Canyon Club, Agora Hills.
Great
this
club, man.
Saturday, go out and see Joe. He needs a dime bag.
And I will see you at Legends.
Come on down.
This Saturday.
We'll take a break. When we come back, home improvement questions. Yes, my former profession. Call up. It doesn't matter what it is. I can answer it. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Artie Lang is on deck, so we'll get to your home improvement calls. Lickety-split.
From the pantheon of morning radio, a solitary gladiator steps into the ring.
Bad stucco. It's like a wall stud in your ceiling. Something called a tuck trowel. The bottom of a ceiling joist. You grind out the mortar. 2x6.
Adam Carolla answers your home improvement questions.
Here's what you need to do.
The quest begins now.
Boy, this is gonna be fun.
I'm gonna go home and bust open a stucco wall and try to fix some old plumbing that's upstairs that caused my downstairs ceiling fan to leak last night. So I have my own home improvement project ahead of me as soon as I get home. And it's a bitch because it's in the bathroom. It's right behind where all the faucets and handles are in the tub. And either you bust out the tile or you go around to the outside of the house and bust out the stucco. I don't want to bust out the tile because it's old tile and I'll never be able to match it again.
Right. Old tile can be amazing. I've gone, and you could buy a box of tile, 100 or so in a box this big, or 50.
Mm-hmm.
And they were $22. And then I bought a tile that was $150 because it came from Versailles when they redid something.
Oh, no, the stuff's nutty. Amazing. Even the reissued stuff, yeah. Even the new to look old stuff.
It is beautiful, though. I like it.
John on line three. Yes, your question, my friend.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Hey, Wilds are there. Yeah, real quick. We just got done redoing the, the floors. We did those snap together floors, right?
Mm-hmm. And pre-finished floating floors, yes.
Exactly, yeah. That's very good. And right. To save a little bit of money, we decided to save our old baseboards. And what I'm finding is that as we go around the house, these things aren't exactly going back together like they were in the beginning.
You popped out your baseboard, and now you want to pop them back in.
Exactly.
And you're having trouble popping them back in.
Well, it just seems, just like anything, they're not going back together tight. And mm-hmm. I just wonder if there's any quick ways to use caulk rather than, or real cheap, easy ways to make it look like there's not an inch gap or a quarter inch gap on.
John, do you mind if I terribly back on or piggyback on your question? I'm having the same thing done, was asking Adam about it yesterday. So you mind if I just kind of listen in and try and get his advice? Because I'm doing the exact same thing you're doing.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Cool.
John forbids that, actually. I spoke to him off the air. Doesn't want, as a matter of fact, everyone shut your radio off now, because this is me and John time, one-on-one, brother. This is as private as the conversation Dog had with his young son.
You'd be number one in guys named John from Sacramento.
First, you effing N-word. Let me say this.
You're not racist. That's just a word you use.
That's the way I speak when I'm putting baseboard on. And don't get me started on that N-word base shoe or the N-word quarter round. Yeah, putting the baseboard back on, it's gappy where it hits the wall, right?
Well, yeah, and then in between, in the corners where you have that little, maybe
right.
Inch piece that does the round part.
It is N-word paint grade, as we like to say. It's not stain grade. It's not clear. It's painted. So thus, you can fill anything you want and then paint it. Obviously, yeah. If your baseboards are oak, and they're red oak, and they're finished off clear, and there's a half-inch gap, it's going to be hard to fill that half-inch gap. But if you can just put Bondo or painter's putty or caulk in the gap and then paint it white, you're fine. Here's what you need to do. You need to suck that baseboard in at the top by hitting a stud every 16 inches on center. Find the wall stud, pop a nail in at the top, and suck it tight against the wall. The wall will be uneven, and there'll be a gap along the top. Fill that in with painter's caulk and drag your N-word finger over the top of it. All right, John?
Right on.
Now, anything bigger than an eighth of an inch, do not use caulk. It shrinks and sags.
That's actually what I was going to ask you, too, and then you're going to get cracked. So what would you...
Go use something that is made for filling a nail holes and cracks larger than an eighth of an inch.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Plenty of it at any N-word home and
I was actually
depot.
Super interested in that. That's my most expensive project I've ever done except buy the house.
And I will say this as well, although I don't know this for sure, but it's a newer technology. And I would say
I've never seen it before. That the stuff he brought over, I think we're talking about the same stuff. It snaps together almost like a puzzle. It looks like volcanic ash with a wood grain.
Engineered wood. Yeah. Engineered hardwood floors. Those floors are meant to float.
Mine has to float because going on the roof with gutter. So my roof is not even.
It expands and contracts a little bit. Thus, if I was putting baseboard down, I wouldn't want to pinch it. I would take a playing card, and I would put the playing card down on the floor, and I would put the baseboard on top of it every few feet before I nailed it off, and then slide the playing card out, thus leaving just a little air gap there so the floor could freely expand and contract.
Wow.
That's why I get the big bucks, folks. Mike?
Yeah?
What you got going?
Hey, I just recently... built a wine rack. It's a wood wine rack that's underneath a counter. The rest of the counter and cabinets that I'm dealing with are all like a golden oak.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately,
that was my porn name.
Unfortunately, I didn't use all oak for the rack itself. And when I stained it golden oak, it turned kind of all different shades of anywhere from golden oak to red oak to. So I'm just wondering about using a either a photo paper or an actual veneer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what you would suggest to cover the whole thing so it looks better.
Putting a veneer over your wine rack.
Right.
Yeah, that seems very time consuming.
That's why I was thinking photo paper would probably be easier and look cheaper. But
yeah, I got some paper for you. It's called a $20 bill, cheapskate. How about you haul it over to Bed Bath & Beyond or Z Gallery or Pier 1 and get yourself a new wine rack?
Well, I built this one specifically to go into one area that's underneath an island that I have in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And fits specifically.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the paper. How attached are you to the look of oak? How about you paint it? How about we go with the aforementioned paint grade?
Well, again, it's right next to all the cabinets in the island and the
rest
of the kitchen.
Yeah, I know it matches up, but can you take it out?
Oh, yeah.
How about you take it out and you spray it? And you spray it a color that's sort of a neutral color. Like even a burnt umber, something like that.
We're having a ball out here.
And you have yourself a wine rack that's different, that sets it apart from the other cabinetry. I'm just saying the papering part of it, I ain't feeling. Now, I don't know why you can't strip it down to the point where it'll just take the oak color. Is there a reason why you can't strip it down that far?
Well, that's what I did, but it's made up of different woods, poplar and pine and some oak.
Oh, I see.
So they're all accepting the golden oak stain.
I see. Right. All right. I must have tuned out during that when Angie handed me a note that said Artie Lang isn't going to be on the show. He's in a bad mood because of a fight he got in.
What? Fight flies.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to him. I love him on Rescue Me.
I want to talk to him too.
Rescue Me.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a problem. What Mike is saying is he used three different types of wood. Three different species of wood to build this thing, and of course they all look different when you stain them. It's never going to work out. He wants to put some sort of paper veneer on it. That's not going to work out. Pick a color your wife or life partner likes. Mike, you gay?
Well, you gotta no. Pick a color of a wife that dog likes. That's very important.
Pick a color that dog likes. He doesn't like the burnt umber, but he likes the lighter bleached colors better. Pick a color that your wife likes. Take it out and go out, prime it, and paint it. This is never going to work with the stain. All right, let's see. Corner on the wall. Let's talk to Jason. Jason?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, so I got this, I was moving a couch, and I smacked the corner of the wall with the couch and dented it in pretty good, and it's got one of those metal pieces behind the paint, you know?
It's called corner bead, son.
Even I know
that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what I'm supposed to do about that. Can I just bend it back and paint over it, or do I have to tear the little corner off and replace the piece? Or what?
No, you don't need to replace a corner bead. Corner bead is the metal strip that they put in the corner where the two pieces of drywall meets, because if you just took the two pieces of drywall, it would be a horrible, sloppy corner, and it would dent every time you leaned on it. They physically snap a piece of sheet metal that goes along the corner, and then they put the joint compound or the topping or the drywall mud over it so you can't see it. You've dented it. That is a classy, by the way, that's a classic white trash move. You walk into a house that has a bunch of dents in the corners and a bunch of holes where the guy punched through the wall.
Yeah. Nice.
And I'll show you some good white trash. I feel like we, you know, there's certain things we lead other ethnicities in. Holes punched in drywall.
White men?
Yeah. I feel like other ethnicities actually just punched a person they're mad at.
Right.
So we take it out on the poor sheetrock.
What do you think, in your opinion, not that you can be right or wrong, because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but in your opinion, why do you think most white men punch a hole in the drywall?
I don't know what the difference...
The motivation.
What
inside the glory hole.
What made them mad?
A woman.
Right.
Always a woman.
But you know what it is for me? This is so weird. It's a woman... And a boyfriend she had before me.
Right.
Nothing that had anything to do with my life at all. I never knew her. I never knew the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was before me, I didn't give her permission. I didn't say, you can love that guy.
My,
And I get, she'll say something nice about him by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, really? Really? Was he that sweet? All of a sudden, kaboom. And I didn't know studs were 16-inch off center until you taught me.
On
now
center.
Now
yes.
I measure.
Yeah.
Now
well, that's,
I'm measuring if I'm busting down walls now, thank you.
That's my problem. I know too much to do that.
I got a speed bag up now, thanks to you.
Tell Danny to move on.
Wow, I was just thanking the host, Brian.
Come on, Brian. You're just thanking the host. Oh,
yeah. So far, it's like, what doesn't Brian like so far? Girls, violence. Do you have anything against money? That's pretty much we're done with all my interests.
He has to answer in the form of a drop, so... Just play the Transformer sound, would you?
That
whenever
works for
you're
everything. Or not interested, which, by the way, you can download as a ringtone, and it's fantastic.
Nice. Carl Weathers saying not interested.
It's my favorite drop ever.
All right. Hey, Jason.
Not interested.
Jason, here's what you need to do. Do not replace the corner bead. Just go ahead and put something that won't shrink or sink into it. Do a little Bondo. Or use something called Fix-All. Can you dig it?
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, Fix-All? Do it with Fix-All. Do it with a broad knife. And remember, when doing repairs on walls, always use two knives, spackle knives. You work the stuff. They work in tandem. All right, my brother?
All right.
All right, T, one more call. What do you like?
Let's see. How about how to handle a botched remodel job? Line 7, Sally.
I have never had a guy tell me I had my house built from the ground up on my plans and had it be a good experience ever.
Okay.
I've never had a guy not get in a fight with his wife or even divorce
him. That's always a disaster. So you want what line?
7, Sally.
All right. Steve.
Hey, what's going on?
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
You want to redo your kitchen cabinets?
Yeah, I do.
Hilarious.
Yeah. What do you want to do? Resurface them? New doors and drawer fronts?
Well, what's going on is the cabinets, when I pull it out, the beam, it's a little wooden piece beam that holds it, like, when it slides in and out. Mm. That thing is, like, worn down. I mean, my cabinet's pretty old. So the back part of the cabinet, the drawer, just keeps falling off, like falling through the bottom.
Yeah. That means you have super cheap cabinets, the ones with that single, super old and super cheap.
Right.
Yes.
So what can I do about it? Is there any way to fix it, or am I...
Call your landlord and tell him to get on it.
Well, it's a condominium, so I don't have a landlord.
Well, then tell your mom to fix it. Who owns this condo, Steve?
Well, I partially own it.
Uh-huh.
Who owns the rest?
Who owns the rest of your condo? I know you own the cat box and the love seat, but who else owns the condo?
How would I know that?
Who?
My mom.
Shocker. You
know, Adam and I were just talking about the world going condo crazy. I never wanted a condo. It seems like, why would you pay for an apartment? I never understood. And the association fees, and mine are really cheap, but I still didn't get it. The condo, I think, is the way of the future. It's bitching. Mm.
Well, if you don't
really
like doing your own repairs.
Yeah.
Well,
see, I think
don't
it's
like
a
doing.
I think it's a con that you have to spend that kind of dough on a glorified apartment. Thank you.
Dough.
You get
well,
it?
Well, you go over my housewarming and you'll go, okay, I get this.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, you will.
Hey, Steve.
You love me. You know it.
I know. Steve, you have a crappy condo that your mom paid for?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I have a crappy mom that I paid for.
I feel like if 100 people called this show and said one syllable, I would either say renter, owner, renter, owner, renter, owner, and it'd probably be about 98% accurate. Steve, you can do things with tools or not?
I mean, I'm not too bad with it, but I'm not too good with it either.
I see.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I have a very vivid picture now.
Me too. How's your mom? Maybe she can fix it.
No, I mean, I could fix it, but I just don't know what to get from, like, Home Depot and stuff like that.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to, first off, remove everything from that drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Then pull the drawer out.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if that rail is loose or the guide in the back of the drawer is loose, because something is not functioning. It's a crappy drawer guide. The real way to do it is use full extension ball bearing guides. I mean, that's cool, but that's a bunch of work for you, and it's going to be hard to retrofit. Pull everything apart and then see what's screwed up, because something's not working. It's a crappy old antiquated way to do a drawer slide, but it should work better than it does. Pull the drawer out. Yes, Steve?
Yeah, I did it before, and it's like the wooden piece is worn out. That's what it is.
It's worn out?
It's worn out.
I see.
He's saying.
All right. Well, how about you replace the wooden piece?
Okay. So just pull it out and then take it to
All right. Look.
Now, who else has got some
You know what? I'm worn out. I am worn out.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, what time is it? See, Artie ain't here.
I have a bit for you if you want.
Yes.
I think you'll like. I brought in yesterday. I chickened out of giving it to you. You know how you do Mr. Brightside or Designated Rant or What Can Adam Complain About or any of the things that you're best about?
Mm-hmm.
I brought in that timer you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's 1 minute with Adam?
I brought him a timer that...
To time my cigarettes.
Yeah, you can go out and smoke, and you won't have to keep checking in. You'll just know it's been 4 minutes or 5 minutes right. or whatever the break is.
So if you
is.
Go to do Mr. Brightside,
mm-hmm.
you have to be done fixing their lives when that dinger goes off in 1 minute.
But what's the topic?
Whatever they want, whatever one you like best. What Can I Complain About? Mr. Brightside, father figure, any one of your famous bits that you like best,
mm-hmm.
you just pick. But instead of fixing one person's problem and really helping out their whole lives, you condense their lives and fix it in a minute. When that thing goes ding, you're done, and their life is better. Next caller.
I'm listening.
You like it? I liked it.
You have the timer?
Yeah, I do. I brought it. I thought, Adam, if anybody can go, here's what you need, here's your problem, get that guy out of your house, get a job, get back to school, he's still got 45 seconds left. We'll be banging through those phone calls like crazy and bettering lives one listener at a time.
I will tell you what. The next time, because I'm now looking down on my list and we have hobo power here. But the next time we do What Can Adam Complain About or any of the other bits you just spoke of, we will do a lightning round version
That'd
of
it. That'd be bitching. I thought it'd be cool.
Man the timer and we'll do it. We'll
I was perhaps scared to ask, even, but I thought it was good.
Oh, who that? What? Don't be scared. You can speak freely around here.
No, I know, but you know that expression, there are no dumb ideas? Nobody really believes that.
No, that in itself is a dumb idea.
Right.
Like, Wait. If I was in a boardroom and someone raised their hand and I said, boss, I got a new saying. I got an idea for a saying. There are no dumb ideas. I'd be like, that's a horrible idea. You're fired.
I got an idea. Screen doors in submarines. Bad idea. You're fired.
What about
idea.
This? Is there such a thing as a stupid question?
Was yeah.
That was you're a dumb fired. Idea. We'll take a
okay,
quick
cool.
break.
Thank you.
Hobo power next. How does that work? Well, we haven't done it in a while. I stumbled onto hobo power as a unit of stink measurement. We have measurements. We have kilowatts. We have BTUs. Oh, there's torque and horsepower. We have measurements for everything on this planet. If it exists, there's a furlong. There's a league. We have measurements for everything but stink. To me, the most important thing to measure, because people do that thing where they're like, oh, man, this bum came up and he wanted change, and oh, he was rank, dude. But they never can quite calibrate it. I will give your stink a number. It's called hobo power. And again, anything over 25 means somebody's vomiting.
Right.
Yeah.
And 50 is a cat that's been fed blue cheese exclusively for a week, defecating on a white-hot hibachi. And 100 is just theoretical. No one's ever lived and smelled 100 hobo power. Your hobo power questions, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. A while back, the Ace Man invented a little thing called hobo power. It's basically a yardstick for stench.
25 cows that have been piling up in the summer heat, they were just rotten.
Yeah.
The farmer, to get rid of them, tried to light them all on fire to burn it all down. It
smells like we're over at Kimmel's house on a Sunday. It's barbecuing.
I'm going to give it a 31.
Oh, 30.
I'm sorry, Dan. Don't try to talk the hobo power number up. It's final decision.
Call in with your smelly story at 866-901-ADAM and let the Ace Man give you your hobo power ranking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I do believe we have an intro for hobo power. Yes, Bald Brian?
Open a window and light a match.
Easy, grimy, gopher guts.
It's time for hobo power.
That's disgusting.
The unit of stink measurement.
Andy from Seattle. Andy?
Yeah?
Give us your tale of stink woe.
Well, it's actually this guy I used to work with, his girlfriend was kind of forced out of a marriage. Her husband had an affair, and anyway, mm-hmm. they ended up in divorce proceedings.
Sabotage.
Yeah, well, I know where this is going, man. Chicks, they're so mean.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're attention whores.
Yeah.
She loses the house in the proceedings, or they have to sell the house, and he ends up buying it. But before she was in the house before the divorce proceedings, and then she is forced out, so she takes some shrimp and puts it inside the hollow curtain rod in the living room.
Diabolical.
You ever heard that? I've heard sewed them up in the bottom of the hem. Sewed shrimp into the bottoms
I've
of the curtains.
I've never heard that.
Yeah,
so we get into the fabric.
But the thing about sewing the shrimp in the bottom of the curtain. First off, how long could the cat ignore that baby? Number one. But number two, I would see that. Inside the curtain rod, I would not see. It wouldn't smell quite as bad because it would be entombed in the rod, but I couldn't see that or find it.
I didn't think I could see it. I've never had it happen to me or never seen it done. I've only heard about it, but that's the way I heard that she had sewn them in.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was somebody had put a bolt inside a hubcap, so it would just bang, bang, bang around.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't smell. It wasn't a smell thing, but it drove them crazy. Now, the shrimp thing, looking for that would be a torment.
The guy ends up moving the house with the girl that they left her for, and the smell gets worse and worse, and they just can't get rid of it. So they end up trying to sell the house on the condition that you're not allowed to come in the house to see the condition.
Because there was shrimp in the curtains?
They had to, like, way mark down the price of the house, right?
Isn't that a Mellencamp song? Shrimp in the curtain rod, blood on the plow?
Yeah.
No, it's a little pink shrimp for you and me.
She buys the house back at this ridiculously...
Hold on, Andy. This is an urban myth.
It might be.
It is not an urban myth.
He sells the house on the condition you can't come into the house, and by the way...
And she buys it back. Because she knew what it was. She, girl, bought the house back.
But the best part is when she came back in the house, when they moved, they took the curtain rods.
It sounds too good to be true. Look, I like it. Andy, I'm going to throw you an 18 just because I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
You didn't vomit. It wasn't your curtain rods.
Yeah. Or even necessarily a true story.
But it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Because both of mine will not, the ones I had in my head, will not get you to vomit, but I think they're entertaining enough to really to count in stink world and fun world.
Mm-hmm. I see one, Adam, that yes. I need to know more.
On line 7?
Yes.
Wow. Are we ready for that?
I almost have to take a deep cleansing breath.
It's late for us, but it's early for a lot of other people. Do you really want to talk to Sarah from San Francisco?
Yeah.
Just can I tell you this? And not that I take my comedy lessons from Heidi Frosty and Frank, but I was listening to them yesterday and a guy wanted to tell them a joke and it had the word tampon in it. And they said that never ends well. It never airs. We always dump it.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
So what do you say?
I say take it.
Oh, you do say take
it. Hell yes.
Oh, I thought this would be
right.
Okay, Sarah?
No, I love those guys, but I'm not about to take my radio lessons from them.
Sarah?
Hello? Yes?
What is the story that ends in tampon?
It was so bad. It was towards the end. I'm sorry, Teresa. As a girl, this is just, I'm sure it's really bad. But, it was towards the end, and I was using a smaller tampon.
Yeah.
And I went to go change it, and I was fishing around. I'm like, wow, I could have sworn I had one there.
Right. Sometimes you can't remember.
Right. So I'm like, I'll put another one in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no!
What?
So there was one in there, and you put a second one in.
There was one in the breech, and you tried to chamber another tampon?
I tried to chamber another one.
Sad, buddy. With that string, it's like a phone lock.
No, this happens to everyone.
Going along, and my period ended, and so...
Hold on, it doesn't happen to everyone.
It started, you know?
Yes.
And I'm like, God, what is wrong with me? So I went to the gynecologist. I was so embarrassed.
How long after that?
I'd say like a week. It's been festering, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you could get toxic shock syndrome from that, right?
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. And actually, that would have been better than the embarrassment that I had to go through.
Is your gynecologist male or female?
Oh, God, it's a female.
No,
I chose her. I shouldn't say her name.
Well, and look.
She's good.
I guess here's what you want in a gynecologist, as you said. A female, nice, but if it's a male, have it be such a kooky nationality that there's no line of communication between you and them, and there's no cultural common ground, and they're almost in the animal kingdom.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Because foreigners are close.
They're animals. Right. They're all animals.
Thank you,
T. You
know.
Thank you, dog. No, look, let's face it. If you ever go to some exotic location and you're walking through the streets of Thailand and some guy goes buzzing by on a moped, that guy's not one of your friends. You don't count him that way. I know we're all God's creatures and all that other BS, but if that guy saw your ass or you're taking a leak by the side of the road and that guy buzzed by... Who cares?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
True. It does feel different.
It's almost like a dog just barking at you when you're taking a leak. Like, who are you going to tell, Lassie?
Yeah, but
we don't even speak the same language. That's what you want in a gynecologist.
In Hobo Power, though, it seems interesting that we never bring up, because I guess if we want to get to the vomit stage, just the guy who you're going to take a picture with or be next to for a reason, and he's showered and he's dressed nice, and he just stinks so bad. I did, should I say the movie star's name?
Yes.
I did a show, I did CSI, and Sean Young played my wife.
Oh, and
crazy, crazy actress, yes. Sean Young?
She smelled so bad, I had to tell someone.
You mean like body odor or halitosis? Oh. Mm.
I had to say, dude, can we do something about this?
Always worse coming from a chick.
You don't expect it.
It was
Sarah, let me ask you this. So your OBGYN pulls out the offending tampon.
Well, we didn't know what it was. She had me up in the stirrups and she's fishing around and she goes, uh-oh, hello.
I just threw up in my mouth. Then what?
You don't want to hear hello.
Talk slower. This is hot.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, especially some of the girls
I
know.
What is it? I was all freaked out. She goes, you got a tampon up there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. So I was going back in my head. I was like, how in the hell did that thing get up there? Did it creep up there in the middle of the night? I mean, you know, how could I have a tampon up there without knowing? So I was arguing with her. I'm like, no, I don't. She goes, yes, you do.
Yeah.
And she pulled it out, and her face, I mean, it was priceless. She had such a look on her face.
Well, what did you think your doctor was going to be wrong? She was going to say, oh, you're absolutely right. It's the bounty guy. Well,
Did the scent waft up to you?
Oh, it was horrible. Like, the whole room filled.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will give you, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do two-parter.
Okay.
I'll give you a 22.
Right.
And then I'm going to tack on 7 for humiliation, embarrassment, that your legs were akimbo and you were nude when it happened.
Thank you.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I asked her, I was so embarrassed. I said, is this the worst thing that you've ever, I'm so sorry. She goes, oh, please. I found lots of things up there, a potato that had started to sprout, you know.
Avocado seed had old tree coming out of there. Beanie babies.
I'm like, what else? She said, no, we'll just leave it there.
That's pretty good.
Potato. Damn. By the way.
What kind of fetish is that? Deaf rat guy got one.
A half hour of solid jackhammering.
If that person was not from the Idaho area, they have no excuse.
I have found, I don't think it was a fetish. I think, do you think that
I have the answer. I'm sorry.
They didn't
have another toy, and they wanted to see that and play, and it slipped.
I'm sorry. I know what happened.
What happened?
Same thing happened
always
to me.
Always willing to listen to you.
You ever driving and you cross that border into Nevada and it says no transporting backyard fruit, produce, vegetables, things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was very serious about moving some potatoes into Nevada.
She was crotching the potato.
I had that happen.
I get there and it says no fruit and I make Bill move up to the front of the car.
I had an old girlfriend once. We had stopped off and bought a whole sack of blood oranges. They're very expensive.
Yeah. Really good.
We were in Nevada. A couple hundred feet down the road, I saw a sign that says quarter mile, checkpoint, no transportation of any bought fruit or backyard fruit or produce. I said, sweetie, open up. I said, I keistered 5 of them.
Right.
You know,
because
you can't ask somebody to do that unless you're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Turns out the guy didn't check. We didn't even slow down.
It seems like yams would be easier.
Craft orange juice for a month.
It seems like yams would have been easier.
Should have went with yams.
The good news is you never got a cold after that.
Never.
Lots of vitamin C.
Jacob?
What's going on?
Calling from the Bay Area?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And you?
Hey, what station are we on up there?
I listen to you on
1550 AM. I'm surprised how popular we are on
AM. Too, but it comes in terrible, so we do the AM.
Hey, Jacob?
I got a good one. I'm in the industry, my friend.
Which industry?
The
sewage industry.
Ooh. Yeah, you work around sewage, yes. Give us a good one.
Okay, so at a treatment plant, everything comes into one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, things build up in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Things have to get cleaned.
Mm-hmm. You work in a facility?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we're down there at the bottom. We got to clean it with squeegees and rubber boots on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pushing, you know, a couple of guys joking around. You're pushing, you're working, you're trying to get it done quick. So you're going a little fast to get it on your face. No big deal.
Sure. It's like war paint.
When you're in the industry, you don't worry about it. That's a casualty of war, right?
Yeah. Dances with corn.
Underneath the hopper that's filled up with rags, and you can use your imagination.
Chief Dookie squat.
You break the boot. Next thing you know,
he walks softly, carry big squeegee.
That's a good one.
Many men have dropped deuce and tank. Only one man left to clean.
Chief Thunderbear. Chief, I'm curious what the stinkiest thing is that you've ever smelled as the chief of the
chief
tribe.
Once mistake Portisand for TP.
Oh, no.
Worst night's sleep ever. Use ass liner as pillow.
Oh, no.
Not good night. Swear off fire water after that.
Here's the one that I said, not going to give me that many points, but I think it's interesting. And it could sound almost racial because it involves two black men. One, Martin Lawrence in his silver suit to make him sweat.
Mm.
While he's trying to lose all that weight running in 108-degree weather.
Elusive black buffalo.
You remember? Mm. Remember that when he fainted in that silver spacesuit and they took him to the hospital and cut him out of it?
Mm.
Can you imagine the stench that must have came out of that silver spacesuit after running till you had a heart attack?
Threw up into peace pipe after smelling
and then
Lawrence.
Eddie Murphy, after doing any one of his fat, big black lady movies where he wears a 400-pound fat suit, and at the end of the day, that's got to be a right man.
Chief Thunderbear loves Nutty Professor. It's a weird thing about him.
It doesn't mean that Eddie didn't stink at the end. It just means he was funny. Hurt your knees.
Nothing funnier than black man size of buffalo making ass sing at dinner table.
See what I'm saying? It's just a weird thing with the chief.
See, I went for funny. I didn't go for throwing up.
Hercules. Can't stop woman from shopping.
Chief loves that stuff.
Scud.
Now, Scud? Jacob, Scud. Who works in sewage, got the sewage on his face, and that was where we left it. Did something worse happen?
No, that was about it.
Single tear, come down right eye.
Did it get worse than
brown tear?
I don't know.
All right, Sir Craps-a-Lot.
Hey, Jacob. You should have gotten a better effort.
Jacob needs an Indian name, but something that alludes to his conversational style.
His total lack of sense of humor and excitement.
Chief Running Mouth.
Chief Dullbear.
Dullbear. Oh, Jacob.
Chief Dullard. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Adam. Do I rent or own?
Oh, boy.
Nice. Got a turnaround, buddy.
Now, you work for the city, right?
Yes, for the county.
I say you own because you wouldn't ask if you rented.
He is in the Bay Area. Very
and he
expensive.
Is a lineman for the county.
Mm-hmm.
I say
okay, well, you're 0 for 1 so far, but...
You rent?
I could be one of the 2%, you know?
Do you rent?
I do rent.
Oh, you see, I should have trusted my gut.
Bay Area is expensive.
You know, I forgot about the Bay Area, too. I was just there. A very nice apartment. My girlfriend's sister was there. She has three roommates in this very nice but little apartment just so they can afford to live there. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is expensive. No, I just went like most people.
It wouldn't have asked.
If you're on the phone and someone and some chick says, guess my weight.
She's
you don't go 250 pounds.
Right.
As it turned out, we had a 300-pounder ask us to guess his weight. All right, we'll take a break. T?
Yep.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, Heather Mills broke down yesterday on television. We'll hear some of that. And also, Lane Garrison, the actor, was sentenced.
Drunk driving, death with the teenagers
That's
in the
right.
car? Good times. All right, we'll do the news next.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
You stupid bitch, you stupid C.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Phil. Former prison break actor Lane Garrison was sentenced to 40 months in prison for a drunk driving accident that killed 17-year-old high school student Vaughn Seishin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He could have been sentenced to almost 7 years or 84 months, but he only got the 40 months. And with 91 days of time already served, plus time off for good behavior, he may end up getting out in 20 months. He was also ordered to pay almost $300,000 to the family of the young woman who died and the two 15-year-old girls who were also seriously injured in the accident.
Good times. Well, the good news is he'll have a career on the circuit when he gets out.
Yeah.
He'll be doing all the Larry Kings. He'll be talking to all the high schools. This will become his career, his acting career, probably would have gone on that long.
The college circuit actually pays, even for PSAs, and pays pretty well. High school and Larry King and CNN and MSNBC don't pay a dime.
But you go on Larry King, and then you get a book deal. The exposure from Larry King that gets you the payday.
I got a payday for the book and bought a boat that day, cash.
I like that.
Yeah?
It was bitch. I felt really good about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real yacht, too.
I like to live in a houseboat, but not on a body of water.
Just the houseboat on land?
Yeah, just park it. Just park it in my living room.
Make Jay carry it around for you.
Where's Adam? He's on his houseboat. It's in the den. All right, T-Bone. Sorry, girl.
Heather Mills did an interview yesterday on a British talk show, and she was very, very upset about the current situation between her and the media.
They make up such lies. You know, they've called me a whore, a gold digger, a fantasist, a liar, the most unbelievably hurtful things, and I've stayed quiet for my daughter. But my daughter, we've had death threats. I've been close to suicide. So upset about this. Mm.
She goes on, and here's where she really breaks down.
I know you're kidding. I've had worse press than a paedophile or a murderer, and I've done nothing but charity for 20 years. Okay. I could sell my story right now. I'm trying to protect Paul and our daughter. I am trying, and I'm being pushed to the edge. Offered nothing, okay?
Okay.
Nothing. We go to court, nothing to do with that. We go to court over my daughter. These figures are made up, 100 million, 50 million, 20 million, this million. How do you know if I even want any money?
I considered it charity when she would show her beeve in magazines for no money.
Mm-hmm. You mean back in the day?
Yeah.
She should have hooked up with Ringo. This was the problem. You see, Paul's a national treasure. Ringo.
Yeah.
We would have enjoyed watching him being taken to the cleaners.
He's not even a national.
Do you feel bad for Heather Mills hearing her cry?
No. I want to run over by another motorcycle.
I don't know enough about the story. I'm assuming she wants a huge chunk of money, and the fact that she's never actually said what that chunk is doesn't mean it's not a massive chunk. I've always heard
$400 million.
I've heard $150 million and above. So, here's the way I feel. For the most part.
Judge.
I'm going to judge.
Right on.
People earn their reputations, good and bad. There's nobody who has a reputation for being flaky that was never late and never missed a day of work. And there are not many people in showbiz who have a reputation of being an a-hole who aren't a-holes. And again, if you have to throw that out, then when I tell you what a sweet guy John Ritter was, or I tell you what a great guy Henry Winkler is, then you have to throw that out, too. And I don't like that. If you're going to throw out the bad stuff, oh, that's just people talking, nobody knows. Well, then what about the fact that Henry Winkler's the world's nicest guy? Do we have to throw that out? That's just people talking. I don't like that. I think you earn your reputation. And I think if people think you're a gold digger or a shrew or a harpy, or if they think you're the world's coolest, greatest person, well, then you've earned it.
Well,
99% of the time.
It's another version of where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm-hmm. And I remember when my wife thought I was cheating, and she actually lit a cigarette off me. So I think that there is some truth to that. If you've got it, you know, you earned it.
I agree.
Well, Heather Mills says that she is deeply in debt from lawyer's fees.
Don't care.
A couple million bucks.
Yeah, a couple million that is going to pale in comparison when she gets to $200 million.
But you know what? It's God making up for her. I got pulled over by a cop on top of my bike, and he said, you know, you're going to kill yourself, you're going to kill somebody else. I said, who do you hurt on a bike going 180 miles an hour? You know, I'm going to get killed, not them. And then I said, and besides, Heather McCartney, that job's been taken. Some girl lost a leg because a bike hit her. That job's over with. I'm never going to hurt anybody but me. Can I just get out of this chicken ass ticket? And he said, no.
Well, it sounds like good logic.
Me too.
Well, we haven't heard from Tyra Banks in a while.
And yeah, it's been too long.
She was hit by a motorcycle and lost half her ass.
Well, here's the thing. You know, she's been a supermodel. Of course, she hung up her wings. That was a big day.
Mm-hmm.
She retired from Victoria's Secret. Talk show host. A lot of young women look up to her. So maybe it's surprising that Tyra Banks doesn't really like every single thing about her body. Here's what she had to say about it on ET.
I don't love my legs. And my calves are too small for me, and my thighs are kind of thick, and my ankles are really skinny, and don't necessarily love my stomach. It's not as firm as it used to be. I've got cellulite on my butt, back fat, like when my bra's on, I have like a little extra. I'm just like any other woman.
Right, except for I get millions of dollars to walk around in my underpants.
Kiss my fat ass!
I know. Look,
I get in trouble. She gets millions.
We think it's so endearing when someone who makes their living walk around in underpants explains they don't like what they see when they look in the mirror.
Right.
It's just another form of blowhardism.
Yeah.
So you saying, look, you being the world's smartest guy and calling yourself an idiot, or you being the most beautiful woman and calling yourself ugly, calling yourself beautiful is a form of narcissism, and then doing sit-downs with Billy Bush where you explain you hate everything about yourself is another form of narcissism. It's just thinly veiled.
Right.
Now we're supposed to like you while you're talking about yourself.
Right. Either way, it's an attempt to make us like you.
I am telling you, I had a boxing trainer that also trained her. There are pictures up in this guy's gym of all the celebrities, the Matt Damons and everyone else that this guy's trained. They all say, Terry, nice job. Couldn't have done it without you, brother. And hers was a picture of herself. Now, they're all just pictures of your arm around Terry after you worked out doing the move. Right. Hers is a picture that she brought in a bikini, black and white, oiled up with shafts of light bouncing off her oiled up thighs and this crazy making her look like some sort of goddess. And it says, Terry, thank you for making me strong. Thank you for making me fast. Thank you for making me. See, you think she's thanking Terry, but
well,
it's me. And then she said, can't nobody F with me. And then she wrote, sign, butterfly.
Today is a fanny party!
And I stared at that thing 8 years ago, and I went, God damn, what a colossal blowhard this bitch is.
I really am a partridge in pain, though.
She was supposed to write something nice about Terry, turn the whole thing toward her, and it's a subtle form of blowhardism. Listen to it. People compliment other people, but they're really talking about themselves. They'll go, oh, my assistant Jay is awesome. Without him, I couldn't do what I do. Without Jay, I could not be Adam Carolla.
Right. There's a way to do it with a bald Brian, although I don't mean it because I think he's great. But you know how fast he is sometimes at the draw? Mm-hmm. You'll say something and I have something perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, you know, if he weren't so good at enhancing, it just makes when I'm really funny and then he hits the right button, it's just the right timing. You know what I mean? You really say how funny you are, and his fast fingers make you just that tad better.
You know, Adam, without you hosting the show, I couldn't be the news girl that I am. I'm Teresa Strasser. That was the news.
Give me a...
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Now, what did Dr. Phil say about Teresa again, Brian? I barely caught that.
Me too.
You stupid bitch, you stupid C.
I was having one bad day, and he calls me that?
Did anybody catch me and Gretchen on that on Wednesday?
I heard it was on, and I didn't see it. And we should go.
No, we shouldn't. I did my job.
I think we should. Yeah. All right, we need to take a break. Sugar
you
Ray.
Stupid bitch.
Sugar Ray Leonard, everybody. The true one that floats like a butterfly. Sugar Ray Leonard in studio next.
Ray takes home the gold medal in the Montreal Summer Olympics. In 1979, he took his first title against Wilfred Benitez.
Now Sugar Ray is dead.
He ruined Roberto Duran in the No Moss bout of 1980.
Duran says go!
When it looked like he was down, he took the fight out of Thomas the Hitman Hearns.
Hearns is in real trouble!
And in 1986, he made marvelous Marvin Hagler look not so great.
Crowd chanting Sugar Ray!
Just a few of the highlights in the career of one of the greatest there ever was, Sugar Ray Leonard, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sugar Ray Leonard, always great to see you. The Contender third season finale is coming up on ESPN. That would be Tuesday night, November 6th, in Boston Garden, I'm surprised to see. Why Boston Garden this year?
Well, they're for sure, Boston's a fight town.
And, yeah,
You know, people...
Boston, Philly.
Boston, Philly, yeah. I mean, that without New York,
Right, but you guys are out here, and normally it's at the Staples Center or some local venue.
Boston really, really wanted the event,
mm-hmm.
and the fight fans wanted the event, and we wanted to kind of circulate,
right.
East Coast, West Coast, because we want boxing to be everywhere.
Is it safe to say that the Contender has had a little bit of a resurgence?
Yes.
I have found that after being on an episode and having more than one person stop me and say, hey, I saw you on The Contender, you can kind of get a feel for things. It's a weird town that we live in. As I said, you can do The Tonight Show, sit there with Jay Leno for 20 minutes, and the next day walk right down the street, no one says a word.
Or not sell out a comedy club.
Still
not sell out.
Or you can do The Contender, and like I said, I must have had 10 people stop me and say they saw me on The Contender. I feel like The Contender got out of the gates good, slowed down a little, and is now back on track and doing great again.
Well, it's one thing is you're also a little out of your element. People don't know. Like he has a movie coming out called The Hammer, Sugar Ray.
The Hammer.
Where he plays a boxing trainer who wants to go, I won't tell too much about it, but when people see what Adam can really do, it jumps them out of this he's funny, he's clever, into this whole other arena. So that I think it's a lot of that. Not you just weren't that funny on The Tonight Show.
Well, they're watching.
When you do that stuff with the rope, bro,
everybody was
a guest.
What?
I used to do a little jump rope, right? Much like yourself. Right. Okay. You know where you can find it? If you go to the Contender office and you go to the edit bay, you'll find it on the floor because I busted my hump for that Contender camera and they cut the whole thing out.
Was Sugar Ray there when you were shooting your stuff?
Sugar, I don't know. Let's see. I was holding the focus pads. I think Sugar may have been there for that. I don't know if he was there when I was skipping my rope or hitting Buddy McGirt's pads.
I don't recall that.
He has an air-conditioned trailer. It was explained that Mr. Ray couldn't be bothered.
How were the fighters this season? How are the final two?
You know what? I tell you what. This particular season, this is our best season by far. I think that it really shows the interactions with the boxers and the trainers, myself with the trainers and the boxers. It was really, we really kind of define what the sport is all about.
And it was nice because this was the make or break season for the Contender. If this Contender season 3 did not go as well as it went and is going, there would probably not be a season 4. Now there'll be a season 7.
Yeah, the ratings were incredible. The outcome, everything was positive.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask you this? You know, we were just talking about Hagler, and it's so interesting to me that the guy was considered the pound-for-pound unbeatable. You know, there are guys,
machine.
I mean, yeah, people remember Tyson when people thought Tyson was unbeatable. Hagler was one of the original unbeatable.
You know how Hagler people blocked a lot?
With his forehead. I think he had about a 9-year stretch where he wasn't beaten, maybe more.
11 consecutive years.
11 years of not being beaten. Yeah. Now, Hagler had a loss or two that happened very early in his career that he avenged, and then he was unbeatable. He was unbeatable. He walked away from the sport after Sugar Ray beat him. He went to go make spaghetti westerns.
He was all done.
Yeah, I like that.
It was another no moss.
I do too.
What
do you
that.
Think in today's dollars? Because I know at the time, if you guys had a rematch, it would have been $15 million each or whatever. In today's dollars.
Well, back then, back in 87, it was, you know, Hagler made about $16 million.
Jesus. 16. And a rematch, what do you think a rematch would have gotten both of you?
In $2007 dollars?
Yeah, well, tell us what the $88 would have been, or the $87 or whatever on the rematch would have been, and we'll try to do the math.
Okay, if he pulled in 16, you almost can almost
you whooped his ass
at least 20.
Yeah, he would have got more, and you would have got
no,
because
you
won.
No, because
you'd
I
have
won.
Got more.
I would have gotten more
on the rematch.
Right?
I was
you would have gotten 20.
No, he'd have gotten 20. You'd have gotten 23.
Right? How much? Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
so we're talking about a combined
26.
Pot.
You know,
okay, Danny.
We're talking about a combined pot of you know coming up to $50 million bucks here, and again. In 1987, 1988, let's not forget the house you lived in was about a quarter of that back then. I mean, gas was cheaper. Everything was cheaper. I mean, we're talking about in today's dollars, $75 million, $100 million.
Easily. That ballpark.
Easily. So somebody said to a guy who likes fighting so much, he punches himself in the face when he's standing in the corner. That's what Hagler would do.
Is that for that or that just to get used to being punched in the face?
But you know what? There is some validity to that, because if you're out of the ring for so long, for 2, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, like I was, you must get your face used to being hit again, the trauma.
Right. This chuck, I hit, never got hit in the face. There's no way to train to get hit in the face except to get hit in the face.
That's why every day after the show, before I walk into my house, I punch myself in the scrotum.
That's good.
I punch myself right in the groin. I say, let's focus, Ace Man. The point is Hagler walked away from $50 million to say, screw it, I'm going to Italy and ride out the rest of my life. Again. And you would have taken that fight, right, Sugar Ray?
No question.
Yeah, you're a businessman.
Hey, man. I don't know how much people know about boxing, because I know so little about sports. It's the one thing I know about. But Sugar Ray can win almost any fight without getting really hit. I've seen you with one mouse in your whole career where somebody really clocked you.
Damn.
But you went with hands of stone, and everybody thought, well, hands of stone's never going to hit him, and then he'll kill him. And then you just stood there and slugged it out with the toughest man in the world. What made you do that? What made you say, I've had enough of this, I can float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, I'm going to stand here with the man with the hands of stone, and I'm going to beat his head in?
You know, Durant kind of introduced me to psychological warfare. He got into my head. He really pissed me off. Well, he gave me the finger, gave my wife the finger, kid the finger.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it got to you.
That would piss me off.
If he'd have been me, if I'd have been Sugar Ray, he'd have been lucky to make it to the ring. Because I'd have Nancy Kerrigan, that bitch.
He challenged me. My manhood.
Yeah, he had a lot of machismo. I don't know if he meant it or didn't mean it. I think he bought into it. I don't think he was smart enough to work the psychological angle. I just think he got himself psyched up and he meant it. Either way, it turned out to a payday.
But you know, I saw Duran many, many years later, and I was having coffee in a restaurant. And I said, Duran,
they let him in restaurants?
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, come here, man. I said, did you really hate me? He said, no, man. It was all acting. I said, you're a damn good actor. You convinced me.
Yeah.
No, he claimed he was acting.
Really?
Wow.
But he gets fired up.
He didn't claim he was acting when he walked out, the first, second round in the No Mas fight?
No, it was later. It was like the fifth or seventh round.
Why is that such a big deal? Because nobody ever says No Mas?
Because Duran is like, you know, Duran.
An animal. Well, you shouldn't be able to beat him.
Here's the thing about the Latin fighters, because he's not a Mexican fighter, but the non-black, non-white fighters, it's about their heart. It's about machismo. It's about not the speed, not the flash, but the intestinal fortitude. And that's what they make their money on. And when a Latin fighter says, I quit, that's a very big deal. Jewish guy quits, no big deal. Asian guy, white guy.
No, that's huge.
Yes, I will say no mas, and I don't even speak Spanish. I'm that fast to quit. Brother can quit too, but Latin guy.
No.
Not the Latin guy.
Same with Hagler, man.
Yeah.
The same thing. You stood toe to toe with one of the toughest men in the world, who I believe you could have never let hit you if you didn't want him to.
He was Hagler was a big, heavy-handed. It was what we call heavy-handed.
Yes, hard puncher.
Hard puncher.
We need to take a break. The great Sugar Ray Leonard in studio, The Contender, third season finale, coming up on ESPN Tuesday night, November 6th.
And I got a little surprise for you, Gorilla.
And Danny's got a little surprise for not only you and me, but his abdomen as well. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, yes. Sugar Ray Leonard in studio.
What a true American hero. Was it your daughter's picture you wore in your boot at the Olympics?
It was my kid's. Little Ray.
Little Ray.
Mm-hmm.
That was, nobody ever done anything like that before. It was all about you and your gold medal. And he had a picture of his daughter, or a picture of his son, taped to his shoe.
Sugar Ray, a lot of guys have man crushes on you. Are you aware of this?
Do you know what that means? It's not a bad, not a gay thing.
It's a cool thing. It's a great thing.
They worship you.
The other one that sounds gay is mandate, meaning you want to go out to dinner, hang out. Hey, you want to go on a mandate? That sounds a little gay to me.
Yeah.
I never heard...
Man
quite
crush.
That way.
Never heard the mandate or the man crush. Well, I must say, to those of us who say no mas with no problem, we say yes, Moss, the Sugar Ray Leonard. I must see Moss.
And I am honored. If I can explain what happened.
Go ahead.
If you're not ready yet, whenever you're ready, sir.
We're ready.
Right this morning, I brought in my gloves because I went back home because I knew Adam was as big a fan as I was. And I have the gloves that I knocked out Greg Brady with. And I also have my 16-ounce gloves. So I didn't take a shower or anything like that. I just dried off, took what Adam calls a horse bath. Because I was late looking for my gloves because I'm moving. I find our gloves so we can both get autographs if you don't mind, sir.
That's cool.
And I said, you know, Chuck Liddell holds the world's record for the time it took him to knock me off my feet, 14 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when he stopped playing because he was pissing me off because he was treating me like a little girl. Mm-hmm. So that's why I cracked him in the chest. And he seemed to lose all space and time. And I thought he was going to kill me. But it's still, whether he's kidding or not, it took him 14 seconds to get me off my feet.
Right.
So I said it would be an honor and a privilege to see, and I knew he could, I believe he can, if Sugar Ray Leonard, probably the world's greatest boxer ever, could get me off my feet in under 14 seconds. And you said,
well, can I
wouldn't do it if it wasn't real. So I asked Sugar Ray, and he had heard it. And he said, yeah, I'll do it with you, but I've seen you fight, and I'm going to hit you. And I said, so then I got scared, and I said, are you going to knock me out so I'm going to be able to do the show? And this is what's scary. He told me exactly what is going to happen to me.
Which is?
He said he's going to go up and down my body. He's not going to knock me out. Then I'm going to take one to the body. They'll knock all that out of me, and I'll just fall straight to my knees. And in about a minute or two, I'll be able to talk again.
I have a... let's
how the hell do you know that?
I have a quick update, though.
I'm so thrilled.
Yeah.
The record for getting Danny off his feet is not Chuck Liddell in 14. It's 12 seconds, and it's held by Tranny from the Arizona area.
Untrue, untrue. He was 214 pounds, according to court records, and he took a serious beating. He shouldn't have had a wiener.
I didn't mean off your feet that way.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Sugar Ray, you've agreed to this nonsense?
You know, Danny, this is what I do.
I know. Oh, I know you're going to pull me out of this. I'm going to win.
This is what I do.
Right.
Professionally.
I know.
I hit you.
I know.
Professionally.
Right.
It's no hobby. It's no hobby.
No,
it's,
I know. Right. I'm going to get it, but...
There's a chance, there is a possibility that I could have a flashback.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm not responsible.
Let me just say this right now.
If I
personally indemnify Sugar Ray Leonard, I have done this to myself. There would be, if he accidentally has a flashback of Roberto Duran or whatever reason he says, and I actually get hurt, I not only indemnify Sugar Ray from any lawsuit from me, but will pay any legal fees if CBS were to get mad. There will be no lawsuit or any trouble against Mr. Sugar Ray for giving me probably one of the greatest honors of my life.
Well, two things. First off, when Sugar Ray hears this, it's like a Vietnam vet when he hears a helicopter.
Right.
You understand? Secondly, if you have a flashback, let's hope it wasn't the second Hearns fight.
No,
all right.
No,
a little inside joke for Sugar Ray. I'm trying to make him angry.
I think he's going to go 1,000 miles an hour, and I think it's going to go so fast that I don't think I'll be permanently injured at all.
All right, well, glove up. Let's try this.
And while they do, I have to tell you this, Adam. I don't know what this means or if Danny was getting on Sugar Ray's nerves during the commercial, but Sugar Ray asked if he could use smaller gloves.
He wanted to go with the 8-ounce gloves.
He asked for the 10-ounce. I'm not kidding. He said it deadpan. Does that mean it's going to hurt more? Oh, yes.
Yeah, Sugar Ray, I don't want to motivate you, but I don't know if you heard about Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's nothing compared to Bonaducci. Every commercial break, that's what this guy sounds like. Every commercial break. Every single commercial.
If you make him mad enough to hurt me, it'll still be one of the biggest moments of my life.
I'm actually really nervous. I during the contender, which I love, I leave the room during the actual fights. Can't watch fights. Even though I love boxing. I don't like seeing people get hit in their face.
So you like the contender, you just leave during the boxing parts?
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's awesome. All right, Sugar Ray's gloving up now. And Sugar's putting on the 14-ounce gloves. Danny's put his gloves on. Sugar is having a flashback. Are you not, Sugar?
When I swing,
yeah.
When I punch,
yeah.
I punch with conviction.
Okay. One speed.
It's okay. Funny, I have about 9 convictions.
Yeah. It's funny how people start to forget pro athletes are athletes. Right. They just think they're, hey, it's Sugar Ray, and he's feeling 7-up. No, he's feeling like kicking some ass.
I know full fact that I'm going to get my ass kicked. But I'm going to get my ass kicked by Sugar Ray Leonard, not some punk, some guy that beat me.
Are you sure you don't want to back out?
This is fully worth it to me. No, absolutely, I don't want to back out. This is an honor.
All right.
I can't watch.
All right, I can watch. Are we ready?
All right, so when you ring the bell, I would like to hear. When you ring the bell, I'm going to throw. So then I need everybody to go 1, 2, 3 and see if I make it 14.
All right, I'm gonna look at the clock. You ready?
Right, somebody say.
Here we go.
Anything?
First? You ready, Sugar? You ready? Here we go. Oh no!
I can't watch. What's happening?
Oh no! We're in. Oh no! No, we went down.
Down goes Fraser.
I think you went about 9 seconds there. Sugar Ray, you took it, and Sugar was throwing hard body shots.
That was the best moments of my life.
I couldn't pull it. I couldn't pull the punch.
No.
I'm sorry. Are you kidding? I'm on fire. Did you feel it? Hell yeah.
He was throwing hard body shots. Oh, my God.
He's got welts.
Oh, look at him. Although Danny's welt colored normally, but it's amazing.
Big red dots. I don't remember him. I don't remember. Whoa, did you hit me hard? I don't remember what I'm saying. I've got big red polka dots. I don't remember him hitting the stomach once. There's like 6 of them.
He threw hard to the body.
He was punching back.
I know.
So what did you think I was going to do?
I defended myself.
That's right. What else could you do? He attacked you, Sugar Ray.
But Danny, you were punching for real. You were punching back at me.
How's Danny's punch, Sugar Ray?
Danny's good. That's a good solid punch for his size.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Sugar Ray.
Thank you so much, man.
Sugar Ray, you guys hang tight here. Sugar Ray Leonard, The Contender, 3rd season, ESPN, Tuesday, November 6th, big finale, $750,000 at stake. A pittance to Mr. Leonard, but to a young up-and-coming fighter at King's Ransom. Quick break, back to wrap it up.
Exactly like you said he would. I'm going to hear, and then they'll knock on the air, and you'll fall down. And that's exactly what happened.
He could barely smoke during the commercial. He was so excited. That's it. I want to thank Sugar Ray Leonard for coming in here and hitting Danny in the gut. The Contender, tonight, 6 p.m. on ESPN, and then the big finale on the 6th, right, of November? That coming up out of beautiful Boston, the fighting city. Teresa Strasser, TMZ, Drawn Together. That's my show tonight, 10 p.m. I should say 10:30 on Comedy Central. Joe Rogan at the House of Blues. Sugar Ray, always a pleasure.
Danny Bonaducci in traction.
Danny Bonaducci in traction. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Oh, no.
I can't watch. What's happening?
Oh, no.